Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Well, it's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's time for the Mark Order Podcast, episode number 38. We are lucky enough to be a full group tonight.
Are we?
We are. Full house. Fuller house.
You got it, dude.
So, we got Kate here. We got Ryan here. Ryan, who's sitting behind you tonight?
Stars and Stripes.
Stars and Stripes are sitting in with Ryan. And from his cave, from his wrestling memorabilia cave. Oh, Buster's with Kate. We have the prodigal son has returned. Millionaire Matt is back with us. And Millionaire Matt has a big box. I don't know if you're going to unbox stuff. Ooh, that reminds me. I have something to share that I got in the mail, too. I have to grab it. I forgot to get it.
I think it's the same thing that you have, sir.
It could be. But
I got two that met me at the end of the driveway. And the mama and me and the wife were leaving the house this morning. And the man was like, I got some packages. And I was like, fuck. She was like, I'll get them. I'll save you the trip. And I was like, fuck.
She's those like, that's like one of your Pillow Pal size boxes, though. That was a big one.
Yeah, well, it says box one of two, box two of two. Oh, no. And I was like, those might be for me. And she's like, yeah, they're for you. Inside collectibles. But I didn't open them yet. She don't know what's in them.
Well, you want to open them? We can open them on the air.
We don't have to do that necessarily right now, but we can.
I'm just saying, if you not now, but if you want to, we can.
Got my knife.
Easy.
Well, don't hurt yourself. You open the bizox.
No, I know. Or you can use scissors. You can use a knife. Anything sharp will do it.
We had me and Ryan had a conversation before Kate and Anthony joined the show, and I said, Stars and Stripes, not a bad tag team. And he said he's been going off the list of WCW tag teams. And I feel like you would have greater success if you chose WCW tag teams that never won gold, like the Ding Dongs. There's definitely Firebreaker Chip and somebody else.
You have referenced Firebreaker Chip before, and I have not done my homework on looking up Firebreaker Chip.
Matt, see, the problem is, while I can, besides the Ding Dongs, who are pretty obvious, the rest of them, I can remember what they look like, but I can't remember the names. So it's hard to pick up an image being like, I don't remember who that dude who wore the construction outfit was, or who.
Firebreaker Chip and Todd Champion were known as the Patriots.
Were they?
You know you want it. You know you want some Patriots.
What was the, I mean, I'm assuming Firebreaker Chip, I can understand what, like, the look was. What about Champion over there? What was the look for him?
Todd Champion was always rocking his, it was some kind of, like, camouflage gear.
Makes sense.
Like, he was some kind of Army Ranger. And Firebreaker Chip, suspenders, yellow long pants. Both dudes look like a million bucks.
Todd Champion?
He was Diesel, but then the bell rang. Asian Joe is right. We need some State Patrol behind you, Ryan.
I will get better ones going forward.
Some Dick the Bruiser and
You watch your mouth.
The Crusher.
At least
you want
got
Dick
it
Crusher?
No. God damn it.
Wasn't it Dick Bruiser and Ball Crusher?
Listen. Educate yourselves. All right. It's Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher. All right. You yelled at me all day about me saying Meg the Stallion.
Megan.
It's Megan the Stallion.
Right.
It's Megan the Stallion.
Well, it's good to be back. It's good to see your lovely faces.
It's good to see yours, Matthew.
Yeah. It was a great fun weekend. I was a little sad when I dropped everybody off.
Me too.
Yeah, I guess let's fill everybody in because we had mentioned it last week that most of the Mark Order podcast was going to Baltimore. Of course, Ryan turned us down, as he usually does, and that's okay. It's his decision.
Twice in a week.
What did you, yeah. Can I ask what you did Saturday, Ryan?
Work thing. We were converting systems, so I had to be available for that. And then Sunday, I helped my cousin move. So it was a great weekend for me.
Wow.
Sounds like
it's not great. Not going to lie.
Guys,
no, it sucked.
You did not have Jimmy's Seafood.
No.
Which was fantastic. Lived up to the hype. And I'm not,
yeah.
I can't eat seafood because of some stomach situations I had going on. But I got a delightful veggie stir fry thing. And I did have a crab roll pretzel thing that was out of this world. The vibe was very cool. We met up with the Motspock. Milwaukee.
What are you doing the Patreon read, Kate?
No, I don't know. He's got like eight names. It's fun to add an inflection into something.
I know, it just sounded like when Tony reads it. Did anybody get crab cakes?
Yes.
Yes.
How were they?
Awesome. Both these guys got them.
Really good. Yeah, so we made it a point. Our crew has been to Baltimore two times before this last weekend. And the first time we didn't have it planned, but I think we jokingly said, like, because it was the Free Enterprise, it was like an afternoon show.
And we weren't even like a bona fide crew yet. Like, we were just a collection of humans that kind of knew each other.
Right.
Before the Mark Order even existed.
That's true. Before even...
Before the Dark Order.
Before quarantine content even existed.
Yeah.
But we had kind of jokingly said that time, like, Jimmy's Famous Seafood, and our driver was like, I'm going home. So we went home. And then the second time when we went, we had gone to the ball game during the day, sat out in the sun for like 6 hours, got sunburned.
Ate hot dogs famously.
Right, ate hot dogs incorrectly. And then we were so exhausted, we did not go to Jimmy's Famous Seafood. So we made it a point. That's right. We made it a point this time to go to Jimmy's Famous Seafood first before we did anything else in Baltimore. That was our first point. And it was great, Schlong. If you are a seafood fan and you find yourself in Baltimore, definitely get to Jimmy's Famous Seafood. And they did have an incredible Bullet Club t-shirt. I missed it.
I don't understand what's going on right now.
I don't know either. I'm waiting for somebody to explain.
There's a guy, Matt Bowman, in the chat who is having some fun over there.
Oh, I'm not looking at the chat. That's why.
But yeah.
Look at all them crabs.
There was a lot of crab. Schlong, now tell us if we did this right, okay? We opened up with crab dip, the crab pretzels, which were basically like soft pretzels with crab dip or crab and cheese on the top of it. We did a half pound of steamed shrimp. And then for dinner, Kate got the stir fry deal, which was gigantic. And then me and Matt got crab cakes with a side. And then I decided to throw some soup on my meal, And I don't know. I don't remember what it was. It was almost like Manhattan clam chowder, but made with crab. And I was expecting a tiny cup. It was a giant bowl, but it was so delicious. I don't know, Ryan. Did we do it right? We didn't get dessert.
Well, I mean, that's at some point you have so much seafood. How can you get dessert? I love crab cakes. It's my favorite seafood. So if they're like excellent, I wasn't having a better weekend. So
the portions were, and with your crab cake, you got a side too. So you got two behemoth crab cakes.
Yeah.
And then a side. And I couldn't even like, after I ate the crab cakes, the side, which was delicious. It was like sliced potatoes with cheese and bacon on top. Couldn't even get to it. I had to make it the Ring of Honor. I would have been asleep in the hotel.
Yeah.
It's true. And I see Rob Humphrey in the chat saying, not a big seafood guy. This place doesn't sound like it's for me. There are other stuff because I had to do like I did a DIY pasta situation, and I did like a veggie stir fry. You know, it's got to be good food if I'm voluntarily eating vegetables. It was like very, very good. And they had like a pretty expansive menu outside of seafood if you're not a seafood person. So the vibe there is really cool. There's not like a ton of other places to eat. So even if you're not a seafood person, like, and I don't know if there's like a podcast recording there or something, like still go. Like it's still, I think if you have the time, worth going to, cause like the rest of the menu was banging as well. So yeah,
my wife jokingly said, you don't eat seafood. You're just going to order a cheeseburger. And at one point I looked at the filet mignon and I was like, I looked at Aunt and I was like, you think I could get a filet mignon with a side of crab cake?
Yeah, I bet you could have.
I bet I could have too, but that might have been worse. I might have been in a food coma.
Oh, so, you would have been dead, dude.
That cheeseburger goes by world famous CB now. Ring of Honor jokes, baby.
My all goodness. Day. I love burgers. My goodness. No, it was fantastic. It was really good, Ryan. Like, again, even if you're not a seafood fan, like, you should definitely check it out. They had a ton of, steaks and things like that. But they also had other, like, they had sushi, and it was really weird. Like, I've been to so many seafood restaurants, and that was the first time I think I ever saw like sushi on a seafood restaurant menu. And I was like, well, duh, how come nobody else is doing this? Like, kind of makes sense. But I plan to go back next time I'm in Baltimore. I know that much. It was delicious.
Now, the big question though is, once you got to the actual show, who cried?
I don't think any of us cried. I had this lingering taste of tortilla chips in the back of my throat, and I didn't eat nachos at all. So that was kind of weird.
Dude did not smell like tortilla chips. He just smelled like ass.
I smelled nachos, and I kept looking around for nachos.
Dude. What kind of nachos are you eating that his ass smells like nachos to you?
Kate was kind enough to give me some Twizzlers to try and offset the tortilla taste in my mouth.
Dude, that guy stood up and you had more than a bird's eye view of the Grand Canyon. I mean, my goodness.
You just said, I mean, the depths of the Grand Canyon. It was just the Grand Canyon.
You were looking into the abyss, and not like Abyss the Wrestler, like the Marianas Trench. Like, it was ridiculous.
It was a lot. And smelly, but I was very proud of myself for not crying. I welled up a little bit at the end when they sent the whole locker room down for the end of Lethal and Gresham. But the rest of it, I was just like pretty into the matches, like the vibe on the show. And it wasn't like, I don't think it was super emotive outside of like the video packages that got sent in, which was really cool. They had like Jimmy Jacobs and Danielson and the Young Bucks and Punk send in like their words about Ring of Honor, which was really great. I actually got more emotional watching it back like live. But I was very proud of myself. I was a big girl.
I mean, it was a good show from TV.
Yeah, it was. I watched it Monday. I watched it back. It was an awesome show.
Yeah, it was. The environment was great. Like it was. It was a great environment. Yeah, but it was something that we kind of talked about there a few times. Was like at certain points the vibe in the room was like weird. Like not like it was just like nobody knew what was happening. You know what I mean? Because there's so much uncertainty. So like at certain times somebody would say something and it would be like, you know, it's all figured out. It's going to come back in April and it's all going to be fixed. Like, you know, and then the next person would talk and basically be like, well, this is it. Last time we're ever going to see this. And like, it was just so weird. The crowd was way into it. Everybody was there, to see this show, you know, because of what Ring of Honor provides, which is a great product. So I hope they do come back. And as Kate said, the cool stuff during the night was the video packages that were there from the Young Bucks, you know, Adam Cole, CM Punk, Bryan Danielson,
FTR,
you know,
PR showing up.
Woo! Well, that was one of the surprises of the night is, the Briscoes won the title for the tag title for the 12th time. And, FTR shows up and brawls. So, you know, we can fantasy book the shit out of that, but that should be a lot of fun. The other surprise was after a really weird EC3 promo that seemed to go on for 40 minutes. Braun Strowman, I don't know his shoot name. He comes out. He looked Adam massive. Scherer. Adam Scherer comes out and he looked massive. And he looked like he was in good shape. So that happened. And then Gresham winning the title, he deserved it. And, you know, saying he's taking it to Terminus and he's going to defend it only under pure rules was really cool. So I thought the show was great. I did not go back and rewatch it just because I don't have Honor Club or anything. Maybe one day I'll bug you for your stuff, Matt, and maybe go and watch it. But it was a lot of fun to be there for that. And it was awesome. We had great seats. The show was a lot of fun. And then we went back to hang at the hotel.
Yeah, we did. And don't forget, Deonna Purrazzo showed up too.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I'm sorry. Deonna Purrazzo showed up. And Schlong, that was another thing is, if you watch the show, the women's title match, Roxy versus Willow, crowd was way into Willow. So much to the point that I don't know if you watched it, if it came across on TV. Roxy got booed hard live in that building.
Yeah, that was really surprising because it was just like she's such a she feels like a homegrown talent there with what they did with this tournament, I felt like. So that match watching back was a little bit sloppier, I felt like, than having seen it in person. But we had all kind of agreed, like, as far as the way it was put together, I was like, oh, this is such, I think we all were like, this is like a textbook way to have like a much smaller opponent versus a larger opponent in a women's match. Like, they did some really, really creative stuff in that. It was so funny mentioning Adam Scherer. I went back because my phone screen was demolished, but I kept taking pictures just blindly. Some of them were so bad, but other ones came out really well. And the pictures of Adam Scherer, you would have thought we were like, and I'm not like a Strowman Adam Scherer gal. Like that was never like my guy or anything like that. That guy looked like we were in the fourth row on my pictures. Like, he is enormous, and he's super in shape. Like, super, super jacked. So, I just wanted to mention that, because it was like, it made everybody else look like they were Legos or something. Like, they were super tiny. Like, it's absolutely nuts. Because you got to think, too, like, EC3 is a bigger guy in that ring, especially. And then Braun Strowman comes out, or Adam Scherer, and is just, like, huge over him. So, it seemed like that very weird promo was about EC3's own promotion or show that he's holding at some point.
Yeah, and there's like promotion pieces out there that have Killer Cross with EC3 and Adam Scherer too. So,
yeah, he's part of that friendship circle.
Control your narrative gimmick.
All right.
But the bar was a lot of fun afterwards, and we got to see a lot of the wrestlers coming and going because we just kind of lucked into staying at the wrestler hotel. I didn't say anything to anybody. But it was cool. It was just cool. It was a great atmosphere. Slowest bartender in the world. Milwaukee Tom joined us.
A little dumb. A little dumb of a bartender, too.
I was, someone was like, I was telling somebody, and they were like, what do you expect? It's a hotel bartender. And I'm like, I guess, but like, you gotta know, like, you got, you know, when like, when there's a wedding and everyone's staying back at the hotel, like, you have to know they're going to the bar after the wedding, and there was a wrestling show in town, and you had to know all this. Someone from Ring of Honor was probably like, hey, old, we're gonna take up all these rooms. You have to have your staff prepared.
And it's not like you're like, oh, wrestling fans, they're not a crowd that drinks heavily.
Like, well, it's not even, to me, it's not even that. It's like, it's simple stuff, right? It's a bottle of beer, right? Or a draft. Or like Matt was drinking Jack and Cokes and you were drinking Jack and Ginger or something like that, right?
Ginger ale, yeah.
Okay. So like, even so, okay, it's two parts. Yeah. And like Kate would say to the bartender, I'll have a Jameson and ginger. And he'd go, okay. And he'd go to grab the cup, like literally in front of him. And he'd go, was that a single or a double? She's like, a single, Jameson and ginger. And then he'd take the cup, he'd get the ice, and he'd go, what kind of whiskey did you want? Jameson and ginger. Okay. Jameson goes in, and then what was the soda? A ginger. Like that was literally what happened. And it's Jameson and ginger. I had to order
it three times. And I felt bad because it was also on, like, Milwaukee Tom offered to buy us drinks. So I was like, I hope they didn't put it on his tab three times when I haven't gotten a drink but even once.
No. It was slow from that standpoint. And then the other thing, Schlong, so like Matt said, the wrestlers were staying at the hotel. so me and Matt go down to the bar. And it was, like, the show ended and we went back and everything was pretty quiet at the moment, right? So we went back. Kate was checking her stuff because her phone was destroyed. So she was just checking her messages online. And so Matt and I were just like, okay, we're going to go sit at the bar just to grab some seats. And we walked down there. And, you know, as you're walking past the bar, it's Kenny King and then two other women who were fans who went to the show. A bunch of empty seats. And me and Matt sat at the other side of the bar. So a guy, we're waiting. We waited like 10 minutes for this guy to serve us, and there was literally nothing else going on. Like, he had just served everybody else. So then another guy rolls up, winds up being a promoter out of Ohio, and he goes to the bartender, well, I hope you're ready, because there's going to be like 40 people coming back from a wrestling show ready to get drink. And the guy's response was, I'm about to close. And the guy who sat down, the bartender goes, I'm about to close. And the guy who sat down was like, oh, I just told the desk person that there's probably going to be a bunch of people coming. And she said you'd stay open. And the guy goes, I've got the worst headache I've ever had. And I got to get up and do breakfast at 7 a.m. And then he proceeded to kind of continue to go on about, this is the worst headache. Nothing's working. I can't get rid of it. And we're all like, just serve us drinks, please. We just want a Jack and Coke and a regular Diet Coke.
Please.
Like, that's all we want.
Please.
So they wound up staying open. Bro, we were downstairs until like 4 o'clock.
They tried to close the lobby by turning off the lights.
I mean, technically we were like, they did.
It's a lobby. Well, we all stayed there for like another hour, though.
Yeah. I sat in the dark and watched Jordan Grace eat pizza as I rubbed my nipples.
Weird. Yes. But Jordan Grace in person, I'm a little sexually confused. I'm not going to lie.
I got to see my wrestling crushes up close. Vita Von Star stopped by the bar.
Willow is like...
Willow. I died a little bit.
Stunning.
And then, you know who surprised me? Because there was an after party at a casino. So everyone went back to the hotel to like change and shit. And then they were all leaving together in Ubers and shit. Allison Kay came downstairs. Bro. Woo! What a dime piece.
You know who else? Who else walked by that I was like, I knew she was gorgeous, but like not this gorgeous? Maria Kanellis.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Like, you could tell she's beautiful, but then like she walked by with Mike and they were ready to go to the casino after party.
And I was like, how'd you push kids out of that body?
I know. I thought the same thing. So
all night Anthony shit on poor Todd Sinclair.
I forgot about that.
And who do we get in the elevator with at 4 o'clock in the morning? but fucking Todd Sinclair.
That's right.
And Matt was like, tell him what you think, you coward, when we got off.
I let him have a pass. It's 4 a.m. He had a rough night.
He was kind of, there were some Rick Knox-ish spots. Not as
egregious. Ant really doesn't like referees, I've noticed. No.
Listen, pay attention to what the fuck is going on in the ring, and there won't be any problems.
What if they did that? Would they be pro wrestling referees?
No.
Listen,
wrestling referees are the dumbest humans in the world.
If you're wearing the stripes, pay attention. Come on.
I'm just
like
saying.
Rick Knox, enforce the rules every once in a while. Same thing. Todd, keep your shit in the ring. Let's go.
Look, Shane Taylor and Kenny King were like, there's 600 ladders and we're going to powerbomb through all of them. That guy had Todd didn't have control. Nobody had control.
Zero control. Zero control. But yeah, so we did get to see some of our wrestling crushes up close. Brody passed by. Brody King. He's a big boy.
So what's the word?
Unsuspecting?
Unassuming. Yeah. When he's just like in a hoodie, like with his glasses on or whatever, it's kind of like Ryan had the same reaction to Jonathan Gresham where you're like, you just look like such a regular dude in street clothes. Like it's
yeah, but at least Gresham's 5'8" when I say that.
Yeah, but Brody King, you kind of just, I guess because I've gone to metal shows, like, he just looks like every dude that's been at a metal show, which he's a metal musician. But I was just like, he's such an imposing figure. And then when he's just like hanging out all chill, it was so funny.
Yes.
And I met the Cease Twins. And
I think the funniest thing was everyone's, you know, if you're just a regular person staying at the hotel and you walk in and there's Danhausen
in his face paint.
In his face paint on his crutches. And he's not like, oh, very nice, very evil. He's just talking to people.
Talking. Regular voice. That was the other thing. Some of them went directly to the arena for sure because they were like checking in. And I think Danhausen was one of them. So it's just this guy with his face paint on.
Yeah. Face painted. Hey,
can I get my hotel key, please?
Yeah. Face painted in a boot in crutches. Just standing there in the hotel lobby. So it was so funny. And Schlong, we did see Adam Scherr walk in as well.
We sure did.
He was quite large. Quite
not
large.
A small man.
No. No, 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 no.
I'd say not.
But it was a lot of fun. And we were there till like 4 o'clock. We went to bed. No ghosts. Happy to report this hotel was clear.
It was very clear. just a very grumpy walrus.
You?
No, I was not grumpy. I was trying to sleep and I kept getting hit.
I wasn't grumpy. I had a great night's sleep.
Me and Anthony had to share a bed because cot was not allowed because it was a fire hazard. And this hotel, unlike the haunted one, did not have a couch that turned into a pull-out bed. So, being a married man, I did not think it was appropriate to share a bed with Kate. I think Anthony was in the same boat.
No, so I would have shared a bed with Kate. I don't care.
Oh, well, fucking too late now. He said, I'm just going to sleep on my side like this.
Yeah.
It'll be good. So I was like, great. And then in the middle of the night, this giant paw fucking whacks me in the side, and it wakes me up. And I look over and there's fucking Bane just like, and I couldn't go back to sleep. I couldn't get comfortable.
I mean, you should have put on some murder television.
Wasn't allowed. We couldn't watch the forensic files.
I have nightmares, but I'm so sad. So I got my phone. The back of it was cracked too. So I had to get the whole unit replaced. But on my old phone, there was a voice memo of Matt being insane at night. Like I had hit record when he started going off on like whatever.
This Saturday?
Like the last 20 seconds of you being bonkers. I was like, I'm just going to hit record and see what happens.
I said goodnight to everybody?
Yeah. And with whatever you were talking about before. Wow. It didn't transfer
Ryan,
over.
Ryan,
I'm so
Ryan,
sad.
Let me ask you a question, Ryan. Forensic files. Are you familiar with the vehicle?
I am.
Is that considered murder TV, and would that give you nightmares?
It might be considered murder TV only because a lot of the people on there have been murdered.
Yeah, but it's all science.
But I don't think it would give me nightmares because typically I'm not in the category of people that gets murdered.
I am very prone to nightmares.
What are you, six?
My subconscious is, apparently. I get nightmares real easily. It's bad.
Oh, I get nightmares all the time, but I just don't think Forensic Files would do it.
That doesn't take much.
But it was an awesome trip. We made it back to Jersey just in time for me to bet. So that was good.
We did.
But you picked the Redskins.
You know what, Ant? Didn't matter because the Jets let Taysom Hill run for a 60-yard touchdown. And that won me my bet for the day. So I was good. Hey,
there you go.
Also, good, it's just you. The Washington football team now, Ant.
Oh, well, come on. they're going to change their name again, too, which is stupid. They should just let it fly right as it is. Just
not stupid because people are going to buy every single one of those name change jerseys, my friend. Mm.
I mean, sure, if you want a cash grab. But people seem to be into Washington football team more than I would have anticipated.
I think because it's just nice to be like, and then Washington or whatever. It's like, it kind of rolls off the tongue very easily.
Washington, Washington.
6'5"?
With a fucking ton.
There you go. Save but, the children, but not the English children.
No. It was an awesome, awesome time. And hopefully, it's not the end of Ring of Honor. If you listen to the Shining Wizards podcast Monday night, we had Vincent on, and they have the six-man titles, and his plan is to try and defend them wherever he can. They just have he has no idea, no clue what is going on.
Oh, and the Gresham promo that we saw was not on the broadcast, which has some pretty big stuff in it.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah, so then I guess, Shlong, if you didn't know, like, he got on the mic and, you know, he talked about a whole bunch of stuff, but the big part of it was that he said, like, he's taking the title to Terminus. He's only defending it under pure wrestling rules. And, like, you know, he said something too to the effect of, like, we're not going to let, you know, this, like, regime, you know, control how this title is defended. And basically, like, you know, it's all about pure wrestling. This other stuff is bullshit. So it was pretty interesting. Man, I hope we get to see Gresham defend that title in a few places with a few different people.
He did mention there's two people he wants to face that are
good.
That would crown him the best in the world specifically. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to suggest both Matt and Aunt Money watch something that is on Kate's other channel of Fight Club. It was done by Jeremy Lambert, where he watches a match with Gresham, and Gresham goes into like his insight into the match. Fascinating.
I'm sure.
Whether you're watching it or not, to hear Gresham explain why he does certain things a certain way, what his whole theory is on putting together a match, it's unbelievable.
And it was the Alex Coughlin match too, right? It wasn't like an opponent that you would necessarily, that would be like the guy that I thought they would choose. But yeah, it's what a mind, what an absolutely awesome wrestling mind.
I also overheard things at the bar Saturday night that made me like super upset. Like Lethal was going to join the Righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where that story was. It was just like the fucking stories in Ring of Honor were so good to have the rug pulled out from underneath them as quickly as it was. Like, and we talked, like I said, we talked to Vincent Monday night, and the original plan was him against Gresham at the final battle.
Him against Lethal.
Yes, Lethal. I'm sorry. It's just like it's so fucking frustrating because I think they were telling an unbelievable story. So
what sucks is no matter what, they're not coming. If they come back, which I hope they do, which they will, but what form, I guess, they're not going to be the same because they're losing guys as you go. You know, you got Lethal, exactly. You got other guys going places. It's not going to be the same.
Well, if they go and the rumor is it's the PWG route. They're going to go back to what they started as, which was an independent company. So, you know, a lot of like, you know, a lot, this isn't the late 90s and the early 2000s. Like, obviously, these companies are more flexible. AEW gave them Lethal because Bandido got COVID. FTR showed up, which was huge. Deonna Purrazzo was showing up. Like, you know, I know the phrase at this point, the Forbidden Door, is a bit ridiculous, but you know, just because someone's signed to a specific company doesn't mean that their time is necessarily all that company's. Brody King is he does, you know, he did Ring of Honor, he did PWG, he did New Japan Strong. Bateman was Ring of Honor, New Japan Strong. A bunch of Josh Alexander was Impact, and he was working New Japan. So, you know, the possibilities are endless. If someone signs with a specific company, that doesn't mean they're essentially off the table.
No, I agree, but you could just tell even if they signed with a different company, there were a couple guys that were stalwarts of ROH that if they go, no matter how much they come back, it just can't, unless truthfully they don't work for their home company, it just can't be the same. Like Lethal, whether you like him or not, him signing with AEW, there's no way he could be at the same level of ROH because one company's like, AEW's not going to let him go that much.
But you know what? The guy that you, in my opinion, need to keep around is the one who said that he wants to hold the title and he wants to see it through, whatever that's going to look like. Gresham has, like, multiple times before any of this was happening, he said he didn't want to leave Ring of Honor. And even since this has happened, I think because he's taking that title to Terminus, maybe it's just good promotional work for that show. But, like, he is a Ring of Honor guy. Like, the stuff that the Foundation did, I know it's, like, it came in as heel stuff about like restoring pure whatever, but like he really, really, really believes in Ring of Honor. And like he flat out said, like, I don't want to sign anywhere else. Like, I want to stay here. So if they're able to retain him in some way, whatever that looks like that's huge. Cause to me, he's the guy. He's their, whatever you want to call it. He's they're Hogan to WWE, Jericho to AEW. Like, he's the guy that this rebuild got built on the back of, in my estimation.
Yeah, and I think when this new era, and I'm really optimistic about this, when this new era of Ring of Honor starts, I think he'll be the guy in 10, 15 years who is associated with it. The same way that you associate the glory years of Ring of Honor with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, CM Punk, Samoa Joe, you know, those guys, and the list can go on and on, Loki and Daniels and all that jazz, but
okay.
That's all I had. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean Kate said Steen and then it went silent.
And then it went super quiet.
No, I mean, listen, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the Ring of Honor talent as we get through the night here. But all in all, fun, very fun weekend. Always fun hanging out with the Mark Order crew at a live event. And we're working our way towards January 5th, where 3/4 of us will be in Newark for the first Dynamite on TBS. So that's lining up to be what could be a very cool show. And then we are also, the full Mark Order podcast is working on trying to get to Atlantic City.
Oh, don't worry. We'll get there.
We're going to be there.
Some misinformed person told me the presale was this morning, so I set my alarm at 9:45, rolled out of bed, ran downstairs, grabbed my laptop, opened it up, only to find out that the presale starts tomorrow. So I will do the same thing again tonight. I will set my alarm for 9:45, roll out of bed, run downstairs. Well, I don't have to run downstairs. My laptop is up here now.
Ooh.
There you go.
Run in the other room.
My office.
There you go. So yeah, we're gonna be in Atlantic City. We're gonna work hard to get to Atlantic City, and all of us will be there. So if you're a Ryan Mark, get to Atlantic City. It's gonna be the only time you see him.
Schlong Mark, if you mark out for the Schlong.
You know what? I'm gonna come to your defense here, and I just put it in the chat. It is a fucking haul for Schlong to come all the way up here.
Oh, all right,
yeah. He did it for Queens. God bless his soul. It's a fucking long drive, people. All right.
It's true, and especially since they have gone to Philly and none of us went to Philly. But
I think I actually said after, like, when I realized it was in Philly, I think I even said, like, how come we didn't go to Philly?
Because like, we did Newark, and I think it was the week after Arthur Ashe or 2
probably.
Weeks after.
It was probably right after.
I was like burned out.
The problem is it's 2 days off from work. It's the day of Dynamite, and by the time I get home, the day after Dynamite, basically for work. And it's like, that's hard to keep justifying, you know, all the time. Because apparently they love the Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what do they have against the West Coast? Because they run the South a bunch, too. I'm guessing it's COVID. And probably having to make dates on, like, when they went into COVID, like, and just started taping in Jacksonville, and they had to cancel all those dates. They probably, like, wanted to go make them up and are now, like, almost restarting their schedule is the only thing I could think about. But, like, as far as LA goes, their numbers are terrible for COVID. So they might just be hesitating. But I'm like, oh, no, are we going to go, like, a year without seeing them? After this run of like six shows in 6 months or something.
Yeah, you also have to reel anything out on the West Coast. Like, are you going to be able to pack a building at 5 o'clock?
That is a big, big part of it.
Like, aesthetically, you want to, if we tune the fucking TV on and you see a half empty arena, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they'll go out to the West Coast in the summer. You know, see if maybe, maybe the summer can prove to be good for the West Coast, right? Because people aren't in school or people can get off of work, take vacation, things like that. So maybe we'll see that in the winter or in the summer. Right now, though, I'll take as much as they want to come to this area. Let them keep coming. It's such a fun show to be at live. So so we're working on those two Ring of Honor. Sorry. We're working on those two AEW shows. And we're also... Also, it looks like GCW is going to happen. So yes. We'll see.
Tom, you got to just Milwaukee Tom across the fucking board, bro. Just change it to one handle, man. Please, for the love of God, Milwaukee Tom. This guy.
Yeah. Well. Tom.
Kevin Schnurr. He says Ooh. Maybe some live rampages from the West Coast with later start time. That would make sense.
That would make also a lot possible. Of sense. Well yes. played.
Yeah, Kevin Schnurr, always thinking. Sure.
Kevin Schnurr also will be at GCW.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we ran into him, or I ran into him in Queens. So always good to see Kevin Schnurr. No, he actually, it was just kind of like when, you know, one wrestler runs into the other one and both of them are still standing. That's what it was like. I should have been paying attention, though. I think I could have taken him down.
Was it the ultimate force meets the immovable object?
I would have been the ultimate force only because I was moving. He was standing there. So I guess he would have been immovable object.
Rock and roll. All right, let's talk some AEW.
So Rampage from Friday night, we lived it. Ryan saw it on Friday.
Fucking no fucking hot dogs in that fucking room.
That's true. Well, there were no hot dogs, even though Kate was eating them correctly. No hot dogs. True. But we did see Rampage. And it kicked off with Lucha Brothers and FTR for the titles, the AEW titles, and the Lucha Brothers defeat FTR. However, there is some shenanigans FTR is claiming. And they say they still have a right at those AEW titles. They say that the foot was under the ropes. That shouldn't have been a legal three count. So I don't think we're done with FTR and the Lucha Brothers. However, it was a fun match. I thought it was a really fun match. They're live. I didn't actually see it on TV, but a good match. Ryan, how did it look on TV?
It was a banger. I mean, those two teams can... have as many matches as they want. Though I do think they're probably, like, I hear what you're saying. I have a feeling that's setting them up for a little bit down the road rather than immediately because they're already pulling them away. But those two teams are just outstanding. They find new ways to do things all the time. This is probably their best one because the ending was the cleanest. They didn't have some weird thing happen at the end.
Yep. No, I agree with you there. I don't think it's going to be an immediate thing, but I think it's basically like FTR laying the seeds for, hey, we have a claim to another shot at the title, you know. So a lot of fun. We also then had our 6-woman tag team match, Ruby Soho, Anna Jay, and Tay Conti versus Nyla Rose, Penelope Ford, and the Bunny. Ryan, I can tell you this from being there live. It was really, I was having a hard time understanding what was going on because I looked to my left and Kate was there, and then I looked to the ring and Kate was there,
and then I'm looked a back. Bad girl.
I looked back and Kate was there, and then I looked at the ring and Kate was there. My brain was melting. Either way, Nyla Rose, Penelope Ford, and the Bunny defeated Ruby Soho, Anna Jay, and Tay Conti. Brass Knuckles, you know, were involved. That kind of sets us up for a match on Rampage this week. We'll talk about that as we get into it. I don't know if anybody wants to comment on this match, but, you know, I didn't see it on TV. I don't know if anybody watched Rampage except Ryan.
Just stop using the Brass Knuckles, please.
Agreed.
I get like every now and again is fine, but they're using it as a crutch and it's got to stop.
Yeah. I'm over the Brass Knucks too. When I did the post show on Friday, all anybody wanted to talk about was Hook, but that opening match was so, so good. And because I remember they did this with Proud and Powerful too. Like when I think it was Cash had the arm injury, they were like, well, that didn't really resolve this feud, so we're going to do it right. I feel like this was kind of the same way, where it was like not a clean finish. And was it Dax this time, I think, who got his bell rung at the pay-per-view? So they were like, we'll run it back one more time. I kind of like that they do that. It does make it dangerous and getting redundant, but I like that they're like, no, we're going to give the fair shots where they're due.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Kate. I just, their matches are so good that I don't need them to get a return match immediately. So if they're just planting seeds for somewhere down the road to go at it again, I'll take it. I don't care. As far as the women's match, Schlong, besides the Brass Knuckles, what'd you think?
It was okay. I don't think that's a great trios lineup in terms of, I don't think Nyla fit in with the Bunny and Penelope too well, but they're telling a story, and I care more about that than I do about how that individual match went, which is you have a story of Tay and Penelope, and you have Nyla and Ruby. So you actually have two stories in one match that are unrelated to each other. I prefer that. I care more about that than how one match went down.
Agreed. They're trying to keep as many stories running with the women as they can at one time. They're doing a pretty good job of it. You know, and we'll get to what they're lining up for next week as we get into the show. Guys, the big moment of the night for me, Hook takes on Fuego del Sol. And it's not because of Fuego del Sol. It's all about the Hook. Hook does the job. He defeats Fuego del Sol. And Hook looked like $1 million to me. And that's not even like me being, you know, sarcastic. Hook looked fucking great live. From what I hear, it was all that people were talking about on Friday night on social. I also saw a report that merch sales last week, Hook was the top seller on Pro Wrestling Tees, beat out CM Punk. So Hook is 1-0 against CM Punk. But man, Hook just took the world by storm. Team Taz, fucking building assassins. Schlong, what'd you think of the TV feed?
I'm still in shock that he was as good as he was. I mean, he became popular as a joke, as a meme, because he didn't say anything, he didn't do anything. He stood around and ate food. And then I actually was worried for him because I was going to feel bad that because he's young, I was going to feel bad that the kid steps in the ring and sucks and all this hype because he was a meme. But to go in and actually be legitimately skilled already and smooth, like everything looked right. And I mean, I know you trash Fuego. Fuego was a good partner, smaller size, good wrestler, let Hook look really good. And the style they chose for Hook was smart. It fit his lineage, but it also fit his size and his build. I loved it. I think everything about the way they delivered him was perfect. The way he walked down, the way he turned his back to Fuego, and just that entire match fits the character they've been building.
When we were there live, Matt goes, "Watch Hook be really good," like sarcastically, and then he came out and was fucking great.
He was fantastic. Look, he is Taz's son, and I know a lot of people aren't familiar with Taz since his WWE ECW run. which is atrocious. I would
the only one that mattered.
I'll fucking drive to your house and strangle you.
Double Z Taz.
I will Taz also with drive two to your Z's. House and strangle you as well. But if you listen to him when he had his radio show, Taz is very knowledgeable. He knows what he's doing. And I think it's fair to say that TK also knows what he's doing. And there's a ton of agents there who are not idiots. So to slowly bring along the Hook character and establish him, make him a character before you put him in the ring was smart. And he's Taz's kid. Taz is not going to let him fucking embarrass him. There's no shot.
Yeah.
I think the thing that was... go ahead.
And people don't remember, or maybe people aren't aware of it. Taz was the trainer for ECW when ECW had their school, and it didn't produce fucking megastars, but like Chris Chetty and Danny Doring and Amish Roadkill and a lot of those guys you saw towards the end of ECW who went on to work for TNA and WWF all went through the House of Hardcore was called,
something like that.
So I mean, look, he definitely exceeded my expectations, but I think he's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah. I think so I loved all the judo stuff. I didn't know, cuz I'm green in my fandom. I didn't realize he used the Taz Mission like as his finisher.
The Kata Hajime.
The Kata Hajime. I knew it was something like that.
WWE, dumb it down. So Jim Ross could say, oh, you're on a such a fast Taz Mission.
Well, okay. It is a Taz Mission.
It's called Kata Hajime. Okay.
Being able to like remember and say Taz Mission for now, and then
you had it right
to the Kata Hajime.
You have it right, Kate.
But I loved all the judo stuff. I didn't appreciate as much live as I did watching it back that Fuego sold his ass off in this match. Like really, really sold for him super well. And it's not that I'm surprised that he's like good in the ring and can execute moves. I guess he was training with a lot of the guys at Creative Pro too, which is cool because he debuted in Long Island and was clearly there. But it was the fluidity of everything, and he has like a charisma about him. Like the way he walked to the ring, the way he carried himself, like those kind of intangibles. Like that was his first wrestling match. Like he didn't do indie matches. Like he hasn't. So it was more the how much he got the rest of it than even just his ability to execute in the ring that, like, when watching it back versus seeing it live, I was really blown away by, like, the way that he carried himself. And I think, you know, it's a logical move at some point, if not in the very near future, in the somewhat near future, for him to go up against Starks. And I think that's just going to be a perfect feud. Like, I feel like their styles are similar enough. Starks is so good at leaning into his opponent's strengths. I think it's one of the things that Starks does best. And they both, you know, they're both like using hip tosses to get out of stuff and smart about things. Like, I think that could be such a great, great story. They're similar enough in size. Like, for someone who has only had one match under his belt, if that's where this is going to go immediately, I think that's a great place for it to go. So, but it was just funny, yeah. And the Friday post show, we got 3 super chats about all of SmackDown and probably upwards of 40 about Hook. Like, everybody is in on Hook. Everyone was blown away that he was great at this. And it was just, guys, we were there. We were there for Danielson Omega. Cool. We were there for the debut of Hook.
It's the one that matters.
What do you think of his finishing move, the Red Rum?
The Red Rum? Very similar to the Taz Mission, which is the only name that goes by. But I sincerely, that's a really cool finisher. I sincerely really like it.
I think the thing a lot of people don't necessarily know about Hook is, I believe he was an All-American college lacrosse player. So he's an athlete. He's athletic. So it doesn't surprise me that he can do some of this stuff in the ring. We clearly saw the man who will be all 4 faces on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling by the time he ends his career. The new Mount Rushmore will be Hook, 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 and Hook.
That's it.
So that was pretty amazing. And What do you think about the possibility of Hook being the person to get even with Dante Martin for turning his back so quickly on Team Taz?
Ooh, I like it in theory. I feel like because Dante is so insane, like he has to be as good as he seems like he is on a very consistent basis for that match to work, because Dante's just out of his mind with some of these moves that I feel like it could get bad quickly. But I like the idea of it. I just think Hook having the FTW belt and Taz being either a very hard-ass dad or a very nurturing dad might be a more fun move. And it looks like Starks might be setting up for some new stuff here. So, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, moving on from, it was really hard to move on from Hook in the show, but we did press on and we did get Adam Cole versus Wheeler Yuta. And Adam Cole defeats Wheeler Yuta, and the big, you know, kind of finisher to the show was that the Best Friends and the Super Click are in the ring. Bobby Fish is able to take Trent down from behind. Heels get over on the baby faces. Orange Cassidy gets low blowed. Triple BTE trigger on Trent, and the show goes off the air. So we're clearly lining up for something that will be coming this week. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But man, the pop for Adam Cole continues to be strong everywhere he goes. People just want to say Adam Cole, baby, and boom. So they keep wheeling him out, and he looks good. So I thought that was, you know, good match. We got to see a little bit more of Wheeler Yuta than we get anything in the ring than we kind of have lately. So always good to see Wheeler Yuta. I just hope at some point he can get some sort of wins and get involved in something where he's getting wins. But it's Adam Cole. What do you expect?
That's it.
That is it. So I don't know, guys. Nothing else to talk about for Rampage. Unless anybody has anything else they want to add here.
Well, I don't know if you talked about it last week, but post-Rampage, TK brings out MJF, and he does this huge, he comes out to fucking Billy Joel, and he says CM Punk's a fucking asshole, and real baby face. I mean, I get it. I get what they were doing, but
came out in his plain view varsity jacket.
It was a fun side to MJF that you know is there, and you kind of got a glimpse of it throughout Dynamite last week. It was just a really cool way to end the show.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, he was taking pictures with the crowd too, and like made jokes about charging $5 for it or whatever, but like normally he flicks off the camera, right? And he was like smiling and stuff. I really like that they do that in people's hometowns.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it last week, Matt, because we don't want to spoil Rampage because it hadn't aired yet. But was.
They didn't show that, did they?
No. But what I'm saying is, we just didn't talk about any of Rampage, you know, because we didn't want to spoil anything.
You weren't looking for spoilers?
No, I didn't go looking for spoilers, and I didn't feel like spoiling it for people.
Ja.
So that was a lot of fun, but it makes. Like, it makes sense, right? Like, you're going to see that in somebody's hometown. They're obviously going to get the support, unless you're the type of heel where it's like, I'm from here and it sucks and I'm ashamed to be from here, but he's never been like that. So, yeah, it was a totally different side. And then tonight he was right back to classic heel MJF, getting heat everywhere else besides where he's at home. So we'll talk about MJF as we get into Winter is Coming talk. But guys, did you know that there's a great network that we're a part of called the Shining Wizards Network? Kate, did you know this?
Get out of town!
Yeah, we're part of the Shining Wizards Network. And Matt's actually part of the Shining Wizards on Monday nights, 7 p.m.
This Matt right here?
Yeah, that one right above you. This guy.
We're on the same network.
Same network.
Well, surely there's not other great shows on the same network that you could tell me about.
Kate, guess what? There are other shows on this network that are so great, and we are going to tell you about them right now. Stay tuned. We'll be back after a word from the other great shows on the network.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantemradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
Horns up, everyone. When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb. And every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of The Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode, we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
All right, we are back on the Mark Order podcast. Matt looks like he's opening a box back there. So I'm going to take a minute to show you this fancy sticker we have here. We've got free stickers we're willing to send everybody. Whoever wants them, just follow us on social at Mark Order Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We got a YouTube. Just send us a DM. Your name and address, we will send you the stickers free anywhere in the world. So just hit us up and we'll send them out as soon as possible. So Matt, You got something you want to show in that box there?
Did you open your buddies yet?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Hold on. I'm going to turn around and grab something. Somebody talk.
They're tiny.
Yeah, they're much smaller than I thought.
I'm a little disappointed in that.
Well, hold on. I got one out of the box if you want to open it.
All right. You think it's going to be a bigger pal than it is and leaves you unsatisfied.
Well, it's about, what's it, the motion in the ocean?
That's right. And so, Matt, open that up. There's something I didn't know. So I got my buddies, but I got an extra one. Yep, I got an extra one for my guy for Christmas. And Matt's showing off Luchasaurus. That's the one that Baby A is going to get. Yeah, apparently if you jostle them around, they make noise. But I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure it out, Matt. Like, maybe there's a tab you have to pull out before it makes noise or something. Matt's going to rip it out of the box.
There is a tab.
I figured. So, yeah, the wrestling buddies are much smaller than I thought. But that's not a bad thing. Luchasaurus looking cool.
My ROH pals will destroy these guys.
It's true. And they will. That's a dinosaur.
Well, not all dinosaurs were large. There were the little guys that spit poison in your face. They took out.
Yeah, but a Luchasaurus is.
That's true. What else you got, Matt? What else is there? Oh. Is that Ortiz?
Yeah.
Ortiz.
The Wardlow looks fantastic.
Yeah, I got those in a separate shipment, and I didn't open them yet. But that's the Unmatched Series 2.
It's Sting!
Matt, did you get a... why is this packaging blue? Are they all blue?
No, he's the Luminaries Collection.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I forgot.
But what the fuck is a Luminaries Collection?
You know, like a legend, I guess.
A Luminary?
Didn't they mention collections tonight on the show?
Collections, I think, might be a different thing. So I have gotten an email. I got a couple emails from AEW. So now they're doing a Tops, like Tops collection thing. So like, if Kate wants to go drop $300 on like a really nice signed CM Punk,
you mean Upper Deck?
Or Upper Deck, I'm sorry. Yes, Upper Deck. My apologies. Like they're doing like super nice signed photos and stuff like that. We're gonna lose Matt in a second here. He's piling up all his stuff. But
Christ.
This is insane. So you have Amazon exclusive, Target exclusive, Walmart exclusive, Ringside Collectibles exclusive, Upper Deck exclusive.
Well, the Upper Deck thing is a completely different thing. Like, I'm not getting involved. Figures. No, I'm not getting involved in like the whatever they're calling it, but it is definitely like for a collector who wants like autographs and stuff like that. Those are like $300 a pop.
Am I the only one who wanted Matt to bend down to get a box to reveal Ree with a shotgun behind him?
Well, she could be rolling up. We don't know. Can't see Matt.
No, 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 no. She's in Christmas cookie heaven down there.
Oh, okay. Nice.
My word.
Rob Humphrey wants to know how many different versions of each figure do they have?
So
47 Cody's.
Well, they have the two series going, right? They have the Unrivaled Collection and the Unmatched Collection. And then within each collection and each wave of figures they do a couple, like they do chase figures, they do rare figures, and then they do I don't know how many Amazon exclusives they've done. I don't know about the Walmart they've done five. Okay, Matt is counting his now. Three
Amazon exclusives. I got in on the Sting Walmart exclusive, which I got an email about today, and it should be shipping on the 21st.
Yes, so there is one right now Walmart exclusive, a Sting figure that Matt and I, that's right, Matt and I got in on that, and it's been delayed like twice, but now they're saying it is shipping on the 21st of this month, so that'll be coming. You've got the Upper Deck stuff. They are doing like Upper Deck physical cards, but I don't think they're due out until next year. And then I also got a an email about other stuff. Oh, Darby looks cool.
He looks much more jacked.
Well, yeah, he's got abs. He's got abs.
I think.
And huge ears.
I think that figure of Darby weighs more than Darby Allin.
Very well, could. But I got another. I got an email today. I guess through their shop, like they're also selling now, like some of the folding chairs from the live events. I haven't looked into the pricing on those yet. I don't know if you did, Matt, but like, that's something I'm not in on.
No, but I deleted that email instantly.
Perfect.
You really got to be a millionaire to stay in this figure game.
It's not really, the figures aren't, it's all the other stuff, right? Like, I can keep up with the figures, but it's like, now we're talking about folding chairs. Like, I don't have room for all that stuff, nor do I really need folding chairs from events I wasn't at, right? Like, I don't need an all-out folding chair from, like, you know, the 2020 all-out.
Right. Like,
you know, if I sat on the floor for that event and I got to take my chair home, different story. Rob Humphrey saying the signed chairs are like $800. Regulars are $300.
Come on.
Not worth it to me. But there's people who will do it. Listen, if people are going to pay for it, you know, they're going
to
sell
it. But like, couldn't you get it for $300 and then bring it to an autograph signing and have them sign it for probably
sure
half the price?
Sure, but I mean, I guess you're guaranteed to get whoever's signing it, right? Like, you know, that's one of the things. But the other thing, too, is like, if you, you know, hypothetically, Kate, if you pay $300 to sit on the floor, you're paying $300 for that chair because you could take it home. You know what I mean?
I was going to say that is included with floor seats, right? I've never sat in a floor seat that wasn't like at a house show.
I haven't either, to be honest, but I'm pretty sure if you I'm pretty sure if you're sitting on the floor in those chairs for like the pay-per-view, those come home with you. That's, yeah, that's part of the deal.
I know that's how WWE does it. I would assume AEW does it that way too, but I'm not sure. Because what are they going to do with those chairs? Like, let the fans take them.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So they're doing all sorts of stuff now, Kate. I also saw, as you could see, I rotate my, my jackets back behind me now weekly because I just feel like staring at a whole pile of stuff is just not fun. So I've just been hanging a jacket in front of my wall of CDs. They did have a couple like AEW jackets like that that they sold. I know they had one AEW one that I saw today that was going for $150, which is comparable to the chalk line stuff. You know, through Shop AEW. They also had the Inner Circle one. Those actually were sold out last time I looked. So, you know, people are buying the stuff, you know, people will pay for it. So why not sell it? Matt is now, if you're watching us, Matt's kind of tilting his camera, showing off his collection. He's got, he has run out of room on that bookshelf.
I got to turn my mic on. Those Series 2 Unmatched officially have filled the bookshelf.
Bookshelf is full. Matt needs a new bookshelf.
I don't have any room.
Matt needs a bigger house and a new bookshelf.
Well, the problem is I got all the micro brawlers too, and I got all the special edition, the ringside exclusives.
Yeah, I got those. Now, here's what I can tell you guys. Matt at least has places he displays this stuff. I don't have that yet. So they're like in boxes stacked up in a room. Like the office I'm working in here at home. Like this office is not the office that I actually work out of. This is Mrs. Money's office that I just decorate before we get on the air. Oh, my nice. Office. What's that?
Oh, nice.
Yes. My office is actually downstairs in another room. And I just have these boxes basically piled up around me. So it's like I'm in my own cubicle because I just have boxes stacked around me. So at least you have your stuff displayed, Matt. You're ahead.
For now. I don't know where I'm going to put these pillow guys.
You could put them next to your Ring of Honor guys.
I could. Good.
Your Ring of Honor guys could hold them like in their laps.
They could.
We shall see.
Well, folks, enough talk about merchandise and figures. We've got more important stuff to talk about, like the rankings.
Oh, yeah.
Is anybody care to rap tonight or sing?
Negative.
Okay, so we're just going to go through these.
I just want Rob Humphreys to know. He said, must be nice to make all that podcast money to spend on all this stuff. Rob, how I wish that was true.
I'm hoping that like we get t-shirts before Matt gets more figure. Oh, no.
Yeah, we're working on ways to make some money. Don't worry. Anyway, let's get into the rankings really quick, and then we'll talk about Winter is Coming. We have the men's rankings. We know who our champions are, Hangman Adam Page and Sammy Guevara. And our number one contender, of course, these rankings were out before the show today. Number one contender was Bryan Danielson, followed by Kenny Omega, Scorpio Sky, Jungle Boy, and Miro. On the women's side, Britt Baker is our champion, and Riho. Yeah, Riho is our number one contender, followed by Jade Cargill, Thunder Rosa, Nyla Rose, and Ruby Soho. And then in the tag team division, I believe this is where most of the shakeup took place. Our champs are the Lucha Brothers. Our number one ranked team is Jurassic Express, followed by the Acclaimed, the Young Bucks, Proud and Powerful, Santana and Ortiz, and FDR falling all the way to the fifth spot. So, guys, now that we've discussed the rankings, we can get into Winter is Coming. I guess you could say that winter has come. Winter is here. So the incredible thing that I had no idea was going to happen for this show tonight is they lead off with Adam Page versus Bryan Danielson for the AEW World Championship. That led off the show tonight. So not only are they giving us this championship match, pay-per-view caliber, for free, they're leading off the show with it tonight. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was going to say, I got home at about 8:40, and I was rushing. And I was like, I'm going to put Dynamite on, and then I'm going to go upstairs, take a quick shower, so I can catch the main event. And I put it on just as Taz finished saying, this is past the 40-minute mark. And then I texted you guys, and I was like, they fucking open with this match? Yeah. So I sat in my chair in my dirty work clothes until the end of the match.
Yeah. Yeah, it, you know, I put baby A to sleep tonight. You know, I put him in bed, I tucked him in, and I went back into the living room, you know, and I couldn't believe when I saw Danielson was heading into the ring. I couldn't believe it. I don't know why I didn't think this could kick off. Just didn't think this would. And it is worth us saying they went a full 60 minutes to a time limit draw. There was a lot that happened in this match, and we will certainly talk about it. But the first question I guess I have for the panel here, and I guess let's throw it to Kate first. Kate, this went 60 minute time limit draw. Is that a bit of a letdown for you? Despite how good the match was, is the outcome a bit of a letdown for you?
I feel like it's too early for me to say yes or no. My gut inclination is Hangman, after chasing this title for 2 years, and his first title defense should have had a clean win. However, there is room. I would be more annoyed by it if Bryan Danielson wasn't actually the best in the world at doing this. And there's a really great story now building with Danielson of, you keep calling yourself like the best here, but when it comes down to champions, all you can do is draw. You can't win, but he can say, I haven't lost. I haven't lost. I haven't lost. And I'm not going to be mad if we get this again in a cage at Revolution or they run this back in any way. This Danielson character is so interesting to me that I think I would hate it a lot more if A, we didn't get the match that we fucking got today, which was just so insane, and B, the way the Danielson character has been built to this point leaves me a lot more room. They've earned my trust in letting things play out. So while immediately I would have preferred clean win for Hangman, first title defense, I'm not that turned off by it because A, I was just so blown away by the match that we got tonight. And B, I think what it does for Danielson is awesome. And, but my only thing with that is I was like, I don't think Danielson needed a ton more, like with the run that he's on. Like, I don't think he gets hurt by a clean loss here. But they've earned my trust and the cliche letting it play out, right? Like they usually pay those things off pretty well. So didn't love it, didn't hate it for the context that it's in, and was just so blown away by the match that I was like, nobody lost the match and nobody lost at all in any way. This was just such great professional wrestling. And we can get into the match later, but that was like my gut was like, didn't love it, but have a lot of patience for where it could go and definitely adds an interesting wrinkle into Danielson. Because what if Punk's the one to come out and say that? My God, like, seen you be the best all over the world. You keep talking about how you're the best here with this new attitude and you can't beat a champion. Like, I'm undefeated. Beat me or whatever. Like, so many places that could go. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on it.
So, Shlong, I'm going to throw it to you next, only because I know you got to see the entirety of the match. Shlong, despite, again, everything that happened in the match, you know, did the outcome turn you off? Was this good for you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a stroll into my brain. So, strap in.
Not remarkably positive, Ryan. Wow.
Well, you see where I'm going with it, Kate. Just wait. Because initially, no, I did not like the outcome. I kind of said that early on. I did not want this to go to a draw. I thought Danielson was a perfect opponent for Page as his first defense because you could have established not only did I beat Omega, I beat Danielson. I am the best. Regardless of whether it's actually true or not in terms of who puts on the best matches, it gives you the storyline, I am the best. So I thought Hangman needed a clear win to establish that. So I did not like the draw initially. However, as I tweeted, I knew I was going to talk myself into it. So I spent time. I looked into myself and I said, okay, they had him basically winning when time ran out. He hit the buckshot. He was going to win. And the bell sounded. It's not perfect, but they're as long as they run this back and Hangman gets his win. If Hangman loses, I'm going to hate what they've done. If he gets his win, I think it's great because not great. I think it's okay because you're giving me a second match because the match was unbelievable. I mean, that the slow Matt, when you go back and watch it, you'll see a slow start into a quickening pace into a slow middle again where you weren't sure what they were going to do. I mean, Kate texted me, I think at the 40 minute mark, I was like, are they going the whole hour? Cause they're slowing down. Like they're going to, so while initially I was disappointed with the draw, based on the fact that Hangman looks like he was going to win, so he can stay strong and say, like, hey, you give me three more seconds and this match is over. And the fact that I'm hoping they give him another match where he does win, I have come to terms with it's an okay ending. So, ladies and gentlemen, you'll have seen how I can convince myself to like things.
It's more indifferent than I think being in on liking it, but we'll take it. It's more positive than negative. Matt, I know you missed the opening of this. You got to see the end of it, so you'll have to go back and kind of see the start. But initially, the 60-minute draw, does that bother you?
Not at all. I'm a huge fan of the 60-minute time limit draw. If it's done properly and the story is told correctly, which I think it will be because I have faith in, I almost said Ring of Honor. I have faith in AEW. I don't have a problem with this. And I think it answers a lot of questions. I know there were a lot of people who were very on the fence about Adam Page being the guy to carry the company, right? Obviously him beating Kenny Omega, that was the story, right? We got the big payoff. Now, is this the guy who can carry, who can be the flag waver of AEW? The fact that he just went an hour with Bryan Danielson, who is arguably the best wrestler in the world, I think definitely proves to any doubters that Hangman Page deserves to be in the spot. And look, to be fair, I picked him to beat Jericho when we had the first match at All Out for the inaugural AEW World Champion. There's also, to Kate's point, there's storytelling here where Bryan Danielson can say he's been to a time limit draw with Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page, and neither one of them can beat him. And there's a chance you can see a three-way dance somewhere down the line. They could go away from this and run it back like they did Punk Samoa Joe in Ring of Honor, where they had three 60-minute matches. The last one obviously ending in a pinfall, but there's a lot they can do with this. And I think it's, you know, when was the last time you saw a 60-minute match on Raw, SmackDown, Impact, you name a fucking round. I mean, this was action-packed storytelling. And I think it was kind of like a, you know, this is our hometown guy, and he can fucking hang with the best in the world.
What was Flushing a 60-minute, or was that 30-minute?
Half an hour.
30-minute, right? But it was another time limit draw, you know? So it's not something... Listen, I've said it before a few times with AEW. I could have seen them at a couple other times doing a 60-minute, or not 60-minute, I'm sorry, but a time limit draw, and I would have been okay with it. This is actually one occasion where I kind of wish we had a definitive winner only because it's Hangman's first title defense. That's the only reason. I don't distrust that they're going to tell a long-term story and fuck it up because they've done it so well. I just feel that because it's a first title defense after this long story we got from Adam Page and Kenny Omega, I thought we'd get a definitive win. I don't disagree. They can go a bunch of different ways here. That would be super interesting. Matt, I immediately actually thought of exactly what you said. You know, Danielson went to a time limit with Kenny, went to a time limit with Hangman. You know, Hangman and Kenny had a long thing. Kenny at some point inevitably would want another shot at Hangman. So we assume he'd have to have the belt. But I did think at some point maybe you do get a three-way dance between the three guys. Obviously, I don't think we're going to get it soon because Kenny's, you know, obviously dealing with a lot of injuries and rehab and all that kind of stuff. But, I didn't necessarily love it. I didn't think the match wasn't good. I thought the match was fantastic. I actually feel like I saw a lot of people saying this match seemed long, like too long. Well, of course, it's 60 minutes. You know, but I thought that the stories they told through this whole match were fantastic. So I didn't have a problem with the fact that it went 60 minutes to the draw. The problem I had was because it was the first title defense, I just didn't love that we got a draw. I don't know if that makes sense. It's sort of like I'm saying I don't mind it, but I do mind it, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. Listen. I thought all in all, this match was fantastic. We haven't even talked about any points of the match. And we can certainly open this up to talk about different parts of this match. The biggest thing for me, especially during the opening part of this match, and Matt, you'll see it when it opens, it's slow. There's a lot of kind of posturing. They're circling around each other. Nobody gets the other upper hand. And Danielson basically at certain points, you know, kind of leans outside the ropes. You know, he needs a second. He does some jumping jacks in the corner. He's not taking this super serious. And then we start to get into the action. And that just for me and other points throughout this match really made me kind of step back and say, this is one version of Danielson I absolutely love. He is this heel Danielson version that we're getting is just such a good character. And it's so perfect for this story that it worked this whole match. I thought that set the tone for kind of how he was viewing this. And then obviously we go into everything we got in the match. And, you know, we got some color. We got some action on the outside. Hangman tried to eat a table. I think he physically tried to eat a table. I thought it was a great match. I did not feel like this was too long in a bad way because it was just boring. It was long because it was long, but it wasn't boring. I thought this was a fantastic match.
That's the point of you know, they announced that there's a time limit for every one of these matches, and you never think that it's going to go the time limit. You know, oh, this is a, you know, whatever, TV time remaining. But that's, it's if you go back and watch any 60-minute match, Bret and Shawn, or any of those Punk and Joe, like, they start slow. But it's, they're, you know, taking you on a fucking roller coaster adventure. And this was a goddamn roller coaster adventure. And they told a great story. Like I said, I got in at the 40-minute mark. But, man, I saw Adam Page trying to jump outside to the fucking table. And it looked like he broke his ribs. And a story where he couldn't throw the lariat. And Danielson's leg. Like, they told unbelievable story. And I might be in the minority here. I think the commentating team of Taz, Excalibur, and Tony Schiavone is their best lineup ever. I know Jim Ross is a legend, but man, fucking Taz and Excalibur have this chemistry. And I don't know if it's from Dark or from the early days of Dynamite, but man, they are 1,000 times better than JR.
It's from Dark, to be quite, as someone who religiously watches, it's Dark, because they've gotten, Taz is so good at breaking down moves, and Excalibur knows to let him. But it's funny because Schiavone fits perfectly right in as like that third guy to come in and kind of provide a little bit different of a voice. I have a couple points, but I don't have to say them all right this second. But I saw Rob Humphrey in the chat say he thought the match was too long. He's not wrong in one sense of like, you have to really sign up for a 60-minute match. Like, you, because unlike, I mean, there were too many commercial breaks, but you don't always know when they're coming. But unlike traditional sports where there's, you know, quarters or halftime, wrestling, it's nonstop. You don't know, especially when you don't know it's going 60, you're afraid to leave because you don't know the moment that match could be over. So I do get being like, this is too long because it's 60 minutes. I didn't, you know, you have to really commit yourself. Now, I loved it, so I'm not going to complain, but I can't disagree with anyone who thinks it was too long in the sense of like, yeah, that's a big commitment of your time. I mean, Matt missed most of the match and still saw 20 minutes of wrestling.
And yeah. To that point too, I think part of that can just be, we think about what Winter is Coming was last year, right? And so we're probably expecting either debuts or surprises, or like, this was a 4-match card, 5-match card. And I think it's very easy to assume it's the thing that's going to be special about it is the thing that was special about it the previous year, right? Like a title change, Sting debuting, like this was completely different than that. And they opened with this. So part of that, I think, is just the adjustment game. I can't say enough about this match. This made me really like sincerely emotional because like, I haven't gotten to watch the best person in the world at their sport do this before. Like this whole Danielson run has been so insane to me. He's like, I don't think other than maybe Gresham, like it's hard to argue that anyone, at least on the American side, is any better than Danielson. But like, I have so many spots written down here. That Liger Dragon sleeper thing looks so painful. Mm-hmm. I have written down here that like a huge part of this Danielson heel run for me is A, him laying his shit in. It just looks so vicious that you're like, yeah, that guy's a dick. A little bit. Like he really lays his shit in. And then the other thing is with his whole arsenal of finishers, and this is where I think it was really cool having a 60-minute match, like, because he can beat you in so many ways, those near falls are so exciting because it's not like I'm waiting for the one move or the two moves that this guy finishes you with. Like, he can beat you with any of these things. So when he's doing them in the context of a 60-minute match, you can bite that it's going to end at any point. I thought the pacing was phenomenal. I think it's very difficult to have a match that is slow and then bursts of offense and then allows some recovery time. I feel like they both jumped into each other's worlds, like stylistically, which to me is my favorite thing that happens in a match. I feel like the story is told in that, where you're jumping into each other's worlds so much. The pile driver on the apron. And yeah, Danielson going from doing jumping jacks to the desperation in his covers toward the end of this match. Like, his whole body was on top of Hangman, hooking the leg. Like, he was getting so, so, so desperate. Hangman being busted open. I loved Taz saying that it looks like the cut he had clotted, when we probably all knew that he got like that skin glue stuff that they seal you back together with during a commercial break. But I'm with you on commentary in general. And tonight, I'm firmly of the belief that JR should be used as like a special attraction for major matches. But this commentary team in general really has a nice rhythm. I think they all lean into what they, Excalibur and Taz lean into what they do so well. And Shivani's so versatile that he can kind of just jump in at any point. My God. And then toward the end of this match, I was just so blown away by things like, I don't know, Paige landing on his feet after rope spots twice, like 55 minutes into it and going into a rolling lariat. Danielson skinning the cat back into the ring when he was on the apron at like 58 minutes in or whatever. Like, my God, the stamina. But I was so blown away by this match. And it's the Dark Order matches leading into it were kind of, I guess, more like average matches. But like, this Danielson run is Omega, Suzuki, this match. Like, it's so special to watch this happening in real time. Like, I haven't had anything like that as a wrestling fan. And it is so cool to like see stuff like that. And it was just so unexpected. Like, when we got to like the 35 minute, 40 minute mark, I was like, oh my God, they're really going to do the full 60 minutes. And I just by default had in my head, like, oh, well, time limit draw is 30 minutes. And then I was like, someone pointed out on Twitter for a championship match, it's 60. And I was like, oh my God, they're really going to do this. So just really cool and such a different experience than the last Winter is Coming, and a different experience than like the way they build up specials a lot. Like, it's a lot of debuts and surprises and title changes and things like that, where this was just like, we're going to give you an incredible classic wrestling match for the title. And I just thought it was so special. And I think this Danielson run is something that people are going to be studying for a long time. It's just nuts to see what he can do with so many different types of performers.
I mean, it's worth mentioning too, that since Danielson came in, you mentioned some of those big matches, right? The time limit with Kenny, Suzuki, this one.
But like Bowens, like that match
right.
Ruled. Yeah.
Like, I was just going to say, even the matches that are quote unquote filler in between, right? The Dark Order stuff and whatnot. Those were all quality matches. Like, nothing that I would say Danielson looked like he lost a step or anything like that. So he's been performing at a super high level since he came in. The other thing I wanted to just kind of touch on that you said, I also loved the lax way he approached this, then the desperation, but also in the middle where he felt like he had the upper hand again, right? He crawled back into the ring and was flexing, you know, and doing kind of cocky shit like that. Just fantastic.
Oh, at the one spot where it was early, Hangman was setting up for the Buckshot Lariat and he just kind of like rolled away.
Yep.
And I was just like, God, he's so fucking good at this. Like, he's going to deny the crowd the Buckshot Lariat and do so in a somewhat cowardly way, but a smart way, because he's a smart heel. Like, he's real good at this, you guys. Ugh.
The other thing too is, to your point, this, you had mentioned it before, like the card size. This was announced a 4-match card. That was it. And I remember kind of as I was looking at the card going into the show tonight, saying, well, I guess there's going to be something that happens that they didn't announce, because that's an awful light card. Like, it's just awful light for a show like this. At no point did I think they're going to go a full 60 minutes and time limit draw. So even just the card size being small, that never crossed my mind that, you know, they were going to go 60 minutes.
Well, yeah, we didn't think like Wardlow and Sydal was suddenly going to get a ton of time, right? So no. Even within those, you would have thought, like, I was thinking like, oh, Kyle O'Reilly's going to show up and they're going to have him have a match in his debut or whatever, like things like that. Yep. But I never saw a 60 minute match coming either.
Right. You come out of the weekend with the stuff that happened in Ring of Honor. Like, people were thinking like the Briscoes are showing up today. So like, could we get an FTR Briscoe segment? Like, Bray Wyatt, for some strange reason, was like being batted around again today. So there were a lot of, you know, but yeah, it never crossed your mind. And from the from a marketing standpoint, like winter is coming, people are tuning in for this match. Like you have them for two, they're watching Dynamite regardless, right?
Right.
So this match could have been 20 minutes or it was an hour. And the way people convey their feelings now is on fucking Twitter. So if you're a casual wrestling fan, maybe you're one of those people who only watches this promotion or whatever fucking dumb nonsensical bullshit you live in. But and you see this trend, like people are like, oh my God, they're going to go an hour. Like maybe people tune in and they check it out.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't, again, to me, I didn't have a problem. I was in for the show, right? Like I was in for the whole show. So I'm going to watch it regardless. But yeah, it was just amazing. And by the way, Matt, like you said, oh, maybe the Briscoes. There was definitely a point in the show tonight where I was like, holy shit, it's the Briscoes.
Yeah, me too. I was telling my wife, she was like, that sentence means nothing to me. I have no idea what the fuck you're
right.
talking. I was like, they were Ring of Honor and they showed up and they showed up. She's like, you could have just told me the fucking cure for cancer and I would have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's okay, we'll talk about another moment I had like that with Mrs. Money on the couch. She's like, I don't care. She's like, I don't know who you're talking about. But yeah, I mean, Ryan, go ahead. I was gonna say, what else do we want to talk about this match? Go ahead, Ryan.
I've learned a lesson. If Bryan Danielson has an interview leading up to a big match, he is going to give away what's going to happen, and you're not going to know it. Because Kate sent me an interview he had today where he said, oh, you know, it's nice. I don't have those super long matches like I had back in the day where I would go 60 minutes. And
it allows me to do crazier shit because I don't, like, have these super long matches. That son of a bitch.
And he also spoke about how Hangman was a brawler more than – like how he had a good brawling style. And that was a story in this match, that Hangman kept going for the punches and the more physical stuff while Danielson was going for the grappling. And my final thought on, cause I was thinking about it as we were sitting here, and then I'll let everyone, if they have fun, wrap up when I'm convincing myself to like the draw, is that I got to remind myself that wrestling is like a book or a movie. This match isn't the last scene. It's the end of a chapter, or it's, you know, the break in an act. I got to remember there's more coming to it, you know, so let's see what the next one is. I think because of the way wrestling was for so long, where this might have actually just been the end of it, I have trained myself to only look at it in this context where it's like AEW has earned enough respect and they've done enough where I'm like, no, I can treat this as just a chapter and not a whole wrap up of a story. They've actually told stories that go beyond one major match. So, you know, if anyone like me didn't like the draw, that's the one way I'm talking myself into it. It's like, no, this is just a chapter. This is an act. Let me judge the conclusion rather than, because now I can enjoy the match more because it was one of the most phenomenal matches I've seen in a long time. I mean, I got into wrestling right as Bret and Shawn did their 60-minute Iron Man match. So like I grew up wanting the 60-minute classic.
Right.
So to see it tonight was just phenomenal. And it gives Hangman, I will say, it does let Hangman, Matt said it, have that boost of, yeah, he can wrestle. People can shut up. Yep. He can go because it takes two people.
Yeah.
You can't do it with just one guy.
It's a huge coming out party for him. And to your point, Ryan, like you're right. We haven't had this alternative to professional wrestling in the last 15 years. So you are, you know, and I think we're all guilty of it, is we have to realize that AEW and Tony Khan, they are writing weekly television. So yes, we do not like when they play out the fucking Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle for 8 weeks to get to a pay-per-view, but it's episodic TV. And we were so used to and this is not me shitting on the WWE. This is just a fact, like the WWE payoffs just being like, if John Cena loses at Survivor, or if Randy Orton loses the Wade Barrett at Survivor Series, John Cena's fired. And then John Cena's on Raw the next night. And you're like, wait, what? Why? And to Ryan's point, this is not a one-off. This is just the beginning. Like, this is not the end of Bryan Danielson versus Hangman. You might see them take a couple-week break, and you might see Hangman get a couple more wins under his belt and Bryan Danielson go to kick someone else's fucking head in. But rest assured, this – and look, I think part of it may have been like an homage to Ring of Honor. And with Punk being there and Bryan Danielson being there, like – I would not be surprised if this is the first of three between these two where they fucking push it for an hour.
I'm waiting for that Rampage spot to be a one-match classic thing, and I'm wondering if they do it here, like an an Iron Man Paige Danielson rematch. Like, one thing I also like that they were doing, I noticed it with Sheeta and Deeb, is they're billing them almost like UFC, where they'll call it like Serena or like Deeb Sheeta 2 and 3 or whatever, which I really, really like because it feels just very sports like. My only thing with the longer term stories is I feel like the story for Hangman to get to the title took so long that I kind of want him to go through opponents a little bit faster as far as defenses go. But to your point, it doesn't mean that they're running it back next week. Like, they could, they're very good at letting these stories simmer in the background and then coming back to them.
Right. Like, would I be upset if next week Miro is calling out Hangman and that's Hangman's next guy? Not at all. I would have zero problem with that.
No. You're right. I mean, we move on from this, like, right? You move on from this story, but it's still on the back burner. Like, it's not resolved. And people won't forget because it was a 60-minute time limit draw. Like, it will not be forgotten. So, you know, I thought it was an incredible match. To Kate's point, because of the way Danielson's been winning, you kind of never know when the finish can come. So you're just kind of glued, like, is this submission the one that makes him tap? Like, I literally thought, at one point when the LaBelle lock was on, I thought, that's it, new champion. I thought they were pulling the belt off.
So hard at that. It looked so nasty.
Yeah, I really turned to G and I was like, oh my God, they're going to take the belt off him. I was like, he's not a transitional champ. Please don't do this. Like, I was invested. So it did the job. I thought it was a great match. I think we all liked it. Matt, you're going to go back and check out the first 40.
I'll watch the whole thing over again. Don't worry.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was a really good match. After that match, they go to a break. And when they get back, from commercial, we get a promo from the Super Click and Bobby Fish running down the best friends. They propose a match on Rampage. They also propose the destruction of Sue's minivan. And Adam Cole promises the best Christmas present ever on next week's show. Also, hello, Drew Nicholas.
Hi,
Drew. Thanks for finding us.
Big money, Drew.
So we're setting up a match for Rampage here. We'll talk about the Rampage card a little later. Really nothing much to say here, except we're kind of lining up this story or this match.
Kind of like Hook debuted, so what are you going to even, who cares?
Yeah, if it's not Hook, I kind of don't care at this point, you know what I mean? So we go into Matt Sydal versus Wardlow. Now, obviously, after the 60-minute match we got, we need to cool off a little bit. So this was a rather quick match. Wardlow wins by pinfall with a powerbomb symphony. And then post-match, actually, towards the end of this match, after the second powerbomb, Spears grabs the mic and he says, hey, wrap it up. Like, he's done. Pin him. Wardlow hits him with a third one, and then that's it. And then post-match, Spears reminds Wardlow that they don't get paid by the hour, and then gives a chair shot down on Sydal. He then gets a phone call, picks it up, and it's MJF. He lets Wardlow know that he has to go pick up some champagne for MJF. So I think here again, kind of sowing these seeds, like at some point Wardlow's just going to have enough of this shit and take it out on MJF. That's really the big thing I took away from this match. If anybody else wants to kind of discuss this, please let me know. I don't know if there's much else here besides these breadcrumbs they're leaving for the split.
I'll just jump in and say I'm glad that they seem to have activated something for Spears. Like, there was just nothing there for a while. It reminded me very much of Leo Rush in WWE when he was doing the Lashley stuff, which I initially hated, but I ended up kind of liking, like, during matches instructing someone that that's kind of fun. I don't know if Wardlow is the guy that should need it because he's such a monster, but I'll let Ryan had texted me during this match and said, man, I'm glad they cooled us off with something before they moved to Deeb and Sheeta, because we knew that was going to be like technical probably too. But yeah, I'm very excited for the MJF Wardlow split, and I have further thoughts on that, but we can wait till main event time for those.
Sure.
I'm just going to say, Kate kind of brought up, this was the smartest placement for this match that you could have had.
Yep.
It was quick. It was easy. It could let you go, you know, calm down a little bit, because you can't have two absolute bangers in a row. You just don't have the energy. And not that, you know, I'm not going to say Deeb versus Sheeta was that you know, the opening match level, but it was a really good match, and we'll talk about that in a second. I don't think I would have been able to appreciate that match without Wardlow and Sydal in the middle to cool you off. And it was better than just a talking segment. The wrestling did give you that little bit extra, be like, okay, you know, we've seen a great match. Now let's get back to reality, because I don't need to.
Oh, there goes gravity.
Mom spaghetti, Ryan.
My knees are weak. My arms are heavy.
Thank you.
Oh.
Dummy, yeah, yeah.
I have a whole new appreciation for that spot because of Eli Drake.
Matt, anything you want to add here about Wardlow and the match?
No, this was. I'm going to run upstairs and shower really fast, and I got down just in time to see Sean Spears taking a phone call from MJF.
Perfect.
Like, come on, we got to get the fuck out of here, and Wardlow being like, "Fuck you."
Yeah, it's. They're laying the groundwork for this split. And when it happens, hopefully it's memorable.
It's coming.
Oh, it's coming. And what's coming next is a video package from Malakai Black. Malakai Black is now talking about embracing the urge to kind of give violence and puts the House of Black before everything else. He says through agony, the house makes you stronger, and he makes a disciple. And then as he's talking about this, he is kind of putting on a robe, almost priest-like, putting on a robe, taking a book, and he starts kind of, I guess, praying in the video package, or like, you know, talking in front of a disciple who's kneeling before him. And then he spits the mist in his face. The disciple vomits black stuff all over the ground, and then puts a necklace on the person. And he says, "Now you'll be more than just a king." And that's the package. Now, it's worth mentioning here that bodyslam.net is reporting that Brody King has signed with AEW. I've only seen it since we started the show. It could have been in other places, but that's the only place I've seen it, is on Body Slam. So we'll take it for what it is. I think they're usually pretty good with what they report, but it's the only place right now. But obviously the line, "You'll be more than just a king," it's got to be fucking Brody King.
Yeah, right? I texted Cass, and it's definitely a thing, which is awesome. Like, I still like your theory, Ant, of also putting Lance Archer in that mix when he's healthy to come back. I also wouldn't hate Brody King versus Lance Archer, but I think I don't know how much juice there's left in the him and Jake the Snake situation, if Jake is even up to being on camera anymore. And I feel like Lance is someone who, we've talked about it at length, like, he's so skilled, and he's just kind of been floating around and not like had anything to really sink his teeth into in a really long time. So I think that's a great idea to also build him in there. But Brody King in AEW, like, is awesome. And as I'm watching this, I said this last week, that, like, of all the people that have come over from WWE, the "how didn't you get this guy" to me is Malakai Black and Miro. Like, how do you miss those guys have been my biggest. Malakai Black and this one, I was just like, he produced, if this was a trailer for a movie, I would buy the ticket to the movie. Like, mm-hmm. He's so creative. It was so well produced. I absolutely, absolutely love this. And I also love Brody King a lot. So I think having someone of his stature and presence under the wing of Malakai Black is something that is only going to make this all the cooler. It's funny, like, those Bray Wyatt rumors surfaced again, I think because he was working on a movie that he's done with. And I'm like, I don't need, like, a lot more creepy weirdo guys. I wouldn't hate him coming over, and especially now that Owens won't be coming over, maybe there's a bit of a different budget situation. But I'm happy with, like, this one creepy dark thing. And I think always want to leave room for Dark Order to turn heel again if you wanted to do that. So, like, let's not over. I'm okay with tons of stables, but they all have to have distinct personalities because you don't want it to get redundant. So, I'm like, this is the right move in my estimation, and I am very excited about that.
Rob Humphrey. I don't know who this Brody King fella is, but I guess it's a good thing because people seem excited. When this episode show is over, when you've done, watched us just pontificate the beauty, the knowledge of wrestling that is between the four of us, fire up your YouTube machine, okay? And just type in fucking Brody King. Maybe you throw some PWG behind it. Maybe you throw some ROH behind it.
But do search fucking Brody King.
Yes, and it will... fucking your head will explode. He is the best. I also must say to shopaew.com, please stop with the there's a new House of Black t-shirt. Just says House of Black member on the front, and then the back says House Rules. I accept that human nature is violent, and therefore I accept violence as a part of who I am. I will not fight that. My past has shaped and guided me. It is not a crutch, but an arrow. I will nurture the teaching that I obtained through the house. And even when the result is suffering, I will be grateful, as the biggest teacher is agony. I want to fucking punch people right now for the House of Black.
One Brody King match that you can look up is him versus Jonathan Gresham at Best in the World.
No,
where was that?
That was him and Gresham was just Ring of Honor TV. Him and Lethal.
Lethal, where he just chopped the shit out of him for so long. But a great match, and I feel like a great example of what Brody King can do from like the obvious Brody King stuff. But he's also great in like a fatal four-way situation or whatever. Like, he's very, very versatile for someone who's as big as he is. But I loved, so it was Lethal. Okay, yeah. Check out Brody King versus Jay Lethal, where we heard chops across the
yes.
Across the world, you could hear those chops. My goodness, but he's a really special guy. Really special talent.
Rob, as someone who was not familiar with him until going to a Ring of Honor show, aside from Gresham, he is the one that stood out the most to me. Like, he, not just because of his look, but he has everything you could want in a wrestler. He's awesome. So you're going to watch him and be like, no, okay, I get why everyone's very excited that he's coming over, because he fits in perfectly. I will say, Kate, the funny thing is, Kate confirming what Kat, like saying she texts Cassidy's coming over, doesn't necessarily mean it's him in that. I mean, obviously they're kind of hinting towards it, but it's weird to think of Brody King as a follower, because that's not really his personality.
But he was so, with Marty Scurll, right? Like, he's played the muscle before.
Maybe. I'm not against it. But I'm just saying, just because he's coming over, not necessarily. Either way, it's going to be awesome, because he is just phenomenal.
Come on, more than a king.
Oh, I'm assuming that's... But I'm just going to put it out there. That part, you know, obviously he teams with Malakai in PWG, so there's history there, but he's going to be a guy that changed a lot of things here, because he's a big guy that can really go. And he's also, and I know they had Lance Archer, but he's a little bit different, and I kind of prefer him to Lance Archer. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see where they go with everything.
Haas fight.
Listen, I don't care if he's part of this faction or not. I just want to see Brody fucking King in AEW, because I think that when more people see him, he will just blow up. His look is awesome. He's gigantic. He is a monster in the ring. To Kate's point, the match we saw with Lethal, where it was just chest slap, just the chop after chop after chop. It sounded like he was caving Lethal's chest in real time. The thuds were so scary to hear. It was amazing. I mean, and he's more than that. He is more than just chops. He can do it all. It was a great match. Rob, seriously, YouTube Brody fucking King and just see what pops up. He's,
and one last Brody King thing. Amazing. He judged a guy so hard for throwing a streamer poorly, and it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen at a wrestling show, where the streamer didn't really make it to the ring, and he just turns his head and he goes, "What the fuck was that?" And just the look of like utter disappointment in his face just cracked me up.
Shame. Poor shame, streamer guy.
It's Anthony's guy, streamer guy.
Best friend.
I'll tell you what, the funniest part from Ring of Honor, I hate to go backwards, but I just need to drop that in when you mentioned Brody King's
disappointment. You're talking about this weekend, the Ring of Honor final battle, : the end of an era, : the finalist battle of all final battles has finally been battled?
Yes. Okay. When after Violence Unlimited won and Homicide went into the crowd to take a poster, and the dude wouldn't give it to him, and he snatched it out of his hands, and as he slid back in the ring, Homicide was like, "Fuck you," and he held the sign up. Yes. And then Brody went to give it back to him afterwards, and Homicide was still just relentlessly mocking this fan, not letting him take his sign. So I thought, I found that funny.
It was very funny.
Sorry to go backwards.
No worries.
Let's go forward into the ladies.
We're going into the ladies. We get Sheeta versus Deeb. They called it the grudge match because of all that had gone on between these two. Deeb taking out Sheeta's knee and Sheeta putting Deeb out of the tournament. Cutting to the end of this match, Sheeta does win by pinfall off a jackknife pin after Serena Deeb gets sent into the turnbuckle, an exposed turnbuckle, and kind of knocks herself out. Let's go to you, Schlong, first, because you're a Deeb mark.
I think everyone should be a Deeb mark. She's fantastic. I love her robe that she walks out in. I think that's really cool looking. This was a really good match. Again, it was, if it wasn't for the fact that we opened up with a 60-minute classic, this would be the, you know, this would be the match of the night for most nights. I mean, it was very good. It was a great story. This has been a really fun rivalry. They clearly have a lot of good chemistry. I love Serena's style now, where she's kind of like Danielson. She doesn't kick as much, but she's got that evilness to every move she puts in. And I really appreciate that. You know, when you're doing a submission move, you just make it look like it hurts that much more. I kind of wish she had won. I get why she'd have won. I'm not upset at it, but I want Deeb to be getting a push. Like, I think Deeb is probably, outside of Britt, the best heel they have in this division. And that includes Jade, because Jade struggles in the ring. Deeb can do it all, and I would really want her to get more of a push so that she can have some classic women's matches with some of the opponents they could match her up with.
Yeah, those are all fair points. I kind of wish Deeb won too, but she lost in a way that makes it seem like, you know, she can come back and be like, "You didn't beat me. You know, I kind of did it to myself. So this isn't over, if you ask me." Kate, what do you think?
I really have liked all three matches between these women. I think it's been, refreshing to have multiple programs going on. And while the title picture has been Challenger of the Month Club, we've had some long-term storytelling with this, which is nice. So just encouraged by how many storylines are happening right now. And these were great. And I got to say, so part of why Sheeta went away so quickly after her reign was over, certainly not an excuse that she wasn't on TV while her reign was going on, but she voluntarily wanted to work on the things that we'd largely been criticizing about character work and in-ring expression. And I felt like today we saw a lot of payoff in that. Like, I think she was more emotive in this match than I've seen her in pretty much at all. Just really kind of unleashing at certain points. And I think Deeb is the perfect opponent for that to happen against too, because there's so many sequences that's very believable. But this has been a great program. I do think it's over. I think three matches and you're out is good, at least for the time being. And I wish Deeb had gone over too, but I do like that Sheeta, at least here, is a former champion who seems like she's carrying the stature of being a champion a little bit. Like, being able to, in the same way that being able to go toe-to-toe with Danielson means something, I think it kind of means something for Sheeta to be able to best Serena Deeb here. So I thought this was some of Sheeta's best work from the character standpoint, and I, from a technical standpoint, I mean, you just don't really get better than Serena Deeb, and Sheeta's in-ring work has rarely been my issue with her. I think she's very, very good in the ring. So to me, this has been one of the more enthralling full programs that the women's division has put on, aside from probably like Britt and Rosa and some of the stuff they did with Soho, as far as anything longer term, which is a small sample size, but I've really liked these matches.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt, what did you think of the ladies? That was,
I do not sound like the Hulkster, brother.
No, nobody does.
So don't try and blame this on me.
Your voice was kind of in and out earlier. I didn't know if maybe you were hitting the gas all of a sudden.
No gas for me.
Cat butt.
Just Nelly. I thought, look, I don't like Sheeta. I think me and Anthony are in the same ballpark on this one. I don't really like any of the Japanese women in AEW.
Yeah, you're racist.
No, I'm not racist.
I know you're married to an Asian woman.
I just don't. They do nothing for me. With that being said, this match was fantastic. I think Serena Deeb is one of the unsung heroes of the women's division. She can go, and Sheeta really did have a nice showing. I'm just not into her. I hate her stupid face. I hate her stupid weird pants. I'm just not into it. It was a great match. Don't get me wrong. And to Kate's point, her like character is developing. I'm just, I don't know, man. It doesn't do anything for me. Misses the mark for me. But I enjoyed the match.
So moving on from the ladies, we go to the Varsity Blondes getting interviewed backstage with Tony Schiavone and Griff Garrison, I guess. I mean, I don't even know who the fuck that guy is, but Griff Garrison is talking about Malakai Black's attack on Julia Hart, calls him a coward. Griff promises to bring the fight to him. Brian Pillman Jr. tries to talk, but Griff challenges Malakai Black to a match next week. And they go to a break, and when we come back, I'm just going to hit a couple of these promos and then we can talk about whatever we want, by the way. We come back, we get a recap of Hook, and also Eddie Kingston cuts a promo ahead of a 10-man tag team match. We'll talk about that. He calls out 2.0 and Daniel Garcia, saying he's going to tag with Proud and Powerful and the Lucha Brothers, and he's gunning for Garcia specifically. So we're lining up a match here for Friday night. We will cover the Friday night card momentarily as we get through the show here. But anything anybody want to talk about through those promos? The only thing I can think about with Griff Garrison is possibly now we get a debut of the King next week. But that's really all I'm taking away from that.
Someday we're going to get Eddie Kingston versus Brody King, and I'm going to lose my mind. But just that it was Eddie Kingston's birthday this week, so... Happy birthday, Eddie, but I'm looking forward to that match. That should be fun.
Who cares?
I do.
What? Your mic's on.
Per my mic.
I know my mic's on.
I care. Happy birthday, Eddie Kingston.
Who? What?
Happy birthday, partner.
Patna? So guys, after this, we start to head into our main event, Dante Martin versus MJF for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, and MJF makes his entrance, gets on the mic, he taunts Texas, and then he starts to call out, CM Punk, basically saying that, CM Punk called him out for going, after low hanging fruit, but then CM Punk does the same thing by saying your local sports team sucks last week. And then he doesn't give a damn about the other young talent because he's the only one that matters, and he's about to end, to be a 3-time Dynamite Diamond Ring champion. And then he also runs down Dante Martin for having the mic skills of Helen Keller on Quaaludes, and says he can beat him with a headlock takeover because he doesn't claim to be the best in the world. He just is. And we get into the match here. We'll cut to the end, just so everybody knows, MJF is better than you, and you should know it, because he wins by submission with Salt of the Earth on Dante Martin, and he wins the Dynamite Diamond Ring for a third year in a row. That's a three-peat, folks. That's a dynasty. MJF has three of those rings, and he gets there because Ricky Starks helps MJF by putting his foot on the ropes. That calls the referee to call off the count, and then we get the salt of the earth. After the match, FTR comes down to celebrate MJF's win. Lights go out. And when they come back up, it's not the Briscoes like I thought it was going to be, Matt. It is Sting and Darby Allin. They attack FTR and MJF helps even the odds here. They get they start to beat down Sting and Darby Allin. And CM Punk makes the save with a baseball bat in hand. He challenges the Pinnacle to a trios match next week, and that's the end of the show. By the way, I do want to call out for anybody who missed it, CM Punk's shirt tonight was beautiful. He had a shirt on that had a cartoon, you know, a graphic of the female reproductive system, and I believe it said get one yourself or something like that. Then tell it what to do. And being in Texas, that's fucking awesome. So Kate, I'm gonna throw this to you first. What did you think about the match and the post match?
I really liked the match. I think, considering how young MJF is, his ability to rise to other people's strengths is pretty insane. And I think it's great. I like that he won. I just think the heel should be the one with the diamond ring. That makes the most sense to me. Sorry, I'm coughing. I
just got all the boogers out of my car, and now she's just...
Oh my gosh, did it not mute? I thought it hit mute.
It muted.
Oh, okay, good. I was like, oh, gross. Dante's ridiculous. I did not appreciate them turning out the lights and turning them back on. I think if you're putting together a special, like Winter is Coming, that's going to feel like someone's debuting, and I get why, and I get that it's kind of like Sting's event. I didn't need that. That was like, it shouldn't ever be a letdown when the lights go out and then pop back on. But I get, you know what, if they want to troll us a little bit, that's fine. We can't expect debuts all the time. We can't expect that to be the Briscoes. We can't expect that to be Bray Wyatt, because there's a couple of like Firefly whatever cell phone lights going on. Can't expect it to be Kyle O'Reilly, just because this wouldn't even be the spot for him anyway or whatever. So I thought that was a silly move. I'm intrigued by, obviously I love the Punk shirt, like in case I didn't love the guy enough, just going out there and supporting women's rights in Texas is a very appreciated as a woman. But I'm wondering if we get a Darby Allin heel turn and whatever's coming up here. I'm intrigued by this connection, because it would be a good way to give Punk his first loss and let MJF go over and keep MJF train rolling. And it might freshen up things with Darby a little bit. I don't know if you want to run that program back necessarily, but it could definitely make it interesting. Darby could turn on Sting as well at some point. He could just walk out of the match. He could say, I'm one of the four pillars and all these old guys are here leading me around. I don't need it. Like,
fuck you, Dad. That's basically what he'd be saying.
Fuck you, Dad. I don't need to bring my coat out in the winter. I'm fine. I'm intrigued. I'm interested to see where that goes for sure, but thought the match was great. MJF having the diamond ring 3 years in a row makes a lot of sense. And I'm intrigued by the post-match antics. I just didn't need the lights out thing. That made it feel like what ended up happening was a less big deal than it was, in my opinion.
And the fact that that was the big match announcement for next week was sort of a letdown for me, because they were teasing Tony Khan as a big match announcement for the next week's Dynamite, and that was what it wound up being. So sort of a letdown there in my mind. Matt, what did you think of this?
I did not like this match at all. I thought it was a clash of styles, and I felt like I don't know if it, everything Dante Martin did felt way too telegraphed, you know, and I feel like they spent a lot of time setting up moves and spots, and, you know, a lot of stuff MJF does make sense. Like, he would just move out of the way, like, and you watch and you're like, why does no one else fucking just move out of the way when this kid jumps off the rope?
All I could think about was the Samoa Joe walkaway spot that you used to do all the time, where someone would go to the top rope and you would just do the same thing. Just walk out of the way.
It didn't do it for me. The winter is coming. This is a big thing. Like, you know, those two being the last two last week in the Rumble, MJF makes sense. Dante Martin, I guess, to tell the story that he changes his mind as much as I do when I'm trying to put on a wrestling t-shirt as to what side he's on. I don't know. I wasn't into the match. I don't want to sound hypocritical because I said earlier that it's episodic TV and they have to write it that way. But man, there was no point going into this where I was like, Dante Martin has a chance to win. And I just felt like it was a styles clash. I did not enjoy this at all. I also, just like Kate, fucking hate it when they turn the fucking lights off.
Yeah, when it's like not.
I get it, but I was like, man, no one was more disappointed when the lights came back on. It was fucking stinging his kid, an old fucking avant-garde was fucking hanging around.
Ugh. No, it's nice. We know Sting's last name now, and it's avant-garde. Because you had Darby avant-garde.
I mean, look, next week, that's huge. Sting and CM Punk on one side of the ring with Darby against FTR and MJF, and they'll probably tease MJF and Punk touching, and MJF will do, like, shitty things when CM Punk is in, like, a side headlock, and he'll run in and punch him in the dick and then run out of the ring. you know, but I don't know, man. After everything that happened this weekend, and I put it in the chat earlier, I think you get FTR Briscoes at GCW. I don't think that... Yep. Crosses over into AEW, at least not yet.
Yeah,
so that's where I am with this, and I don't really care about the Diamond Battle Royal ring gimmick.
Well, it's $100,000 ring. It's a pretty expensive prize.
But yeah, but Matt's a millionaire, so he's like, that's whatever. True. I got pennies. So many of those, if I wanted
pennies. Shlong, what'd you think here?
Well, you said one of my favorite parts is when wrestling companies give like fake values to things. I love that. You know, it always cracks right. me up.
He's fine, like, for a billion, trillion, zillion dollars. Yeah.
My other, it's like one of the, I don't remember what I was watching once, but it was something from the Federation back in the day. And I think it was JR who said, those steel steps have to weigh 300 pounds. I'm like, I don't think so, pal.
Yeah, anyway. No, not the way they toss them around.
No.
I mean, I liked the match, but I get what Matt was saying. I think some guys just don't have the best of chemistry. I think a lot of this was designed in a way to show MJF's heel side and have Dante trying to do cool stuff around it. And it just, there were moments where you're like, oh, that you probably would have been better off not playing into that as much and just letting it be a wrestling match. But I actually did think there was a chance Dante could win. But I thought it was going to come through Wardlow coming out and then MJF yelling at Wardlow and then Wardlow decking it. Like, I thought it was going to be, you know, dirty. And I just, because I thought it'd be really funny to watch Dante walk around with that ring. I mean,
because
only a heel really pulls that ring off. Like, a face, you know. Yes, Matthew?
I also felt the Ricky Starks leg on the rope thing was blatantly in front of the fucking referee's eyes.
Was it Rick Knox? Because that would make sense.
It was just so like...
It was Bryce.
It was just like, I don't know. Nothing was jiving for me, man. I had a mouthful of macaroni and cheese. I was really enjoying myself. Ooh. And
how is any wrestling match supposed to compete with a mouthful of mac and cheese?
I don't know. Kraft did something. They changed the powder. It's not as good. No artificial flavor anymore.
Apparently, you'll have to ask Mrs. Money about it. Mrs. Money says you don't follow the instructions. You have to... go rogue a little bit.
Rob, buddy, guy. It's not the podcast money, brother. All right.
Yeah. All Rob right. Humphrey saying Matt could just bust out some of that podcast money and get his own diamond ring. He doesn't need the podcast money. He's a millionaire already.
I was going to say, you spend a lot of time on a pizza truck. If the podcast is what's making you money, you're wasting a lot of time on a pizza truck.
Rob, I got diamonds on my fingers. Because I don't fucking flaunt it. Don't mean I ain't got it, son. Chill. Know your role over there.
That's right. Shlong, did you have anything else you wanted to wrap up on the match?
No, I kind of got lost with the diamonds on my fingers line.
Okay.
I like said I enjoyed it more than Matt did, obviously, but I get his. I can't argue with any of his complaints. And the Sting Darby versus FTR MJF isn't really where I wanted the next feud to go, but whatever. We'll see how that plays out.
Episodic TV, you're gonna get these guys on TV again. You know, like I get it. It's just not. I want to see the Briscoes and FTR on fucking AEW. I don't want to. I don't give a shit about Sting and Darby Allin as a tag team. Tell the fucking Darby go in the woods and do some fucking weird Christmas tree fucking art bullshit, whatever he's into.
He could. Yes, Kathleen.
Oh, was that me? I have a couple of questions. The first is to the group. Are you interested in a heel Darby Allin at all, if that's where this ends up going?
I just don't know how that makes sense, but I'll definitely take a look at a heel Darby Allin.
Okay. What's he going to turn into fucking the Bart Simpson of AEW?
Run here he is, my friend.
Skateboard and spray paint.
He's El Darbo.
El fucking jerk off is what he is.
Aggressive.
Fucking hanging out with old fucking the Stinger. Woo!
He's doing doo-doo art with Sting.
You know what? I would want, if you want to do Sting Darby on doo-doo art as a promo, I'm all in.
Okay, people in the chat. Matt, can you fill them in so that they don't just think we're weird? We are weird, but there's a reason we're making doo-doo art jokes.
Well, I do the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast every Monday night at 7 o'clock on youtube.com/TheShiningWizards. And we had Priscilla Kelly on when she was caught up in that little tiff a couple years ago where she did the old tampon in the mouth spot. Yeah. And at the time she was with Darby and he just happened to be there while we were doing the interview. He got on the phone and he due to art became a subject. And I asked if they had a lot of glass tables in the house and due to art was born.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Go back and find that in the archives. Give it a listen. It was a funny episode.
It was a great episode. I have no shame in my game. All right. If you listen to the Vincent episode, he joins us just as I'm in the middle of talking about good old ass crack in front of my face at Ring of Honor. Oh my God.
And then when he joined, he was like, basically tuned in at the ass crack talk.
That's how I roll.
Well, Kate, did you have another question about Darby? You said I had a couple questions.
Did everybody answer the question?
Shlong is very into the idea. It is hesitant, but would take a look.
All right. I want no part of it.
You want no part of it.
What's he going to do? Paint his whole face? Or is he going to paint the other side of his face? You know, like heels grow a beard and the faces have like a clean baby face. What if he just flip-flops which side of his face he paints? Does that mean he's a bad guy?
I kind of like it because then it's like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing, but it's like...
He paints a beard.
He paints a beard!
Maybe he doesn't paint his face at all. He takes off the paint.
Ugh, then he just looks like some kid that works at Hot Topic.
He already looks that way.
What else,
Question Kate? Number two. Do you think that the opening match and the main event should have been switched?
No, I think it was fine to leave it the way it was.
I think you kind of can't because you're leaving an hour, right? So it's like a little bit too obvious, but...
Yeah.
I was just...
No, you get them in there for the first hour. You ride the train, the momentum, people talking about it.
Yeah.
I think we're just like at a place where we have to adjust our expectations a little bit in general, like that these specials might not always be... Like they really blew their load at All Out. And I mean that like in a good way. But it's like everyone's expecting debuts tonight because of what they did last year. Like they're going to, I think, always give us like pretty baller shows. But the way they deliver that is going to look different from time to time.
So wait, are you saying when winter came, it was disappointing?
Well, no. Winter's here.
They're loaded all out.
Winter is here. I think, you know, it climaxed early.
Winter has come.
Winter came, and it came early.
Well, TK can't be throwing fucking breadcrumbs all over the place every time he does a goddamn interview.
No. I'm not even complaining. I just am like, I feel like some people were like down on this, and like I wasn't. Eat your
guts. Easy, Macho Man. That seems a bit aggressive.
That was.
Macho. People thought there would be a debut, is what
people thought there would be a debut. Maybe you do debut Brody King here. I don't know why you didn't, but I actually think it was cool that they delivered something completely unexpected with what happened between the ropes. Like I actually really appreciate that, but we also have to like get realistic about where we're at with this roster, I think, and stop expecting like insanity reveals every single time that there's like a TV special or whatever. But I do feel like the main event might have left a little bit of something to be desired. Like when you start off with what you started off with, it's like it's probably gonna go somewhat downhill the rest of the episode, so you want to like spike it at the end with something cool. But when you turn out the lights, I think you're expecting something major, and then it was just like, oh, it was the guy that turned out the lights for last year. So they kind of set themselves up for that moment in a bad way.
Happens to my wife every night. Turn out the lights, and then she's just disappointed.
Well, same guy in his small bat.
And you never know.
I have a small dick.
I have a small dick. It's true. We know that, Matt.
It's me. How do you know that?
Because you've told us.
Oh, okay. Because Anthony made like, I woke up with a sore butthole joke when we stayed in Baltimore.
You make that joke?
No, I just wanted to take a shower. Be left alone.
Come on, we were disappointed that you weren't cackling to yourself in the shower. You should just know that.
Or like talking to himself.
I was tired and I was, I felt like I had been abused throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
The big fucking grizzly bear mitts were punching me while I was sleeping. And then this guy must have changed the channel like 6 times in 5 minutes. The worst.
It was like 7 a.m.
It was not, first of all, it was definitely not 7
a.m. Whatever. It felt like 7 a.m. But it was like hours before any football stuff. We had already seen all the headlines. So I changed it, Matt. You weren't paying attention anyway.
Then you put on like some CNN. Then you put on something else.
Yeah, I like to see what's going on in the world. My apologies for trying to be.
I mean, our road trips, it's Ant's responsibility to keep you up to date on current events.
And he did a poor job. He did a very piss poor job sitting in the back seat. Couldn't Google shit. We did find out a lot about the rest stops, though.
We did.
One of them is named after a man, but it sounds like it's a woman.
One of them's named after a poet.
He didn't even know it.
Most of them were poets and authors.
Yeah. Can we just get the fucking John Bon Jovi rest stop?
I think there is a John Bon Jovi rest stop now.
It's halfway on our trip. It's halfway there.
Oh, my God. Anyway, that was Dynamite. The card for this week's Rampage, we mentioned we're going to get Eddie Kingston, Santana and Ortiz, and the Lucha Brothers versus Daniel Garcia 2.0, and the team that they decided would be added to that is the Acclaimed.
Correct! Ding!
Perfect. We also get the Super Click and Bobby Fish versus the Best Friends and Rocky Romero.
Weird how you just referred to them as the Best Friends.
Because they're chaos.
They're not fucking chaos. You watch your goddamn tongues, all of you.
Rocky,
you
know, said they're chaos.
It's because you didn't mention Sue.
I didn't even realize because I just took it down the way that it was put on television. But I should have just been like, wait a minute, Best Friends and Rocky, that is all of chaos. So we could have just said chaos.
I hate to stop this, but Asian Joe has a fantastic question. How awful would it be to know your legacy is a rest stop named after you? What would you want named after you?
Nothing.
Oh.
What would you want named after you?
Oh, God. Who knows?
What about...
I just want, like, a pillow pal. I don't think I need anything named after me. I just want one, like, a me.
That's a bad idea, Kate.
I want to be on a dollar bill.
Kate, the people you are interacting with, I would not be surprised if they already have a pillow pal with you.
That's a very good point. That's a very good, alarming observation. I want to be on a coin or a dollar bill.
Oh. All right.
We saw how well that worked out for Susan B. Anthony. So, and then the third match that we have on Rampage is a submission match, Tay Conti versus Penelope Ford.
Can the ladies stop calling each other bitches? And they're all their bros.
Oh my God. Like, it's an exclamation point. We use bitch. Bitch, 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 bitch. It's so annoying. It happens on every televised wrestling program I watch. Stop.
Yeah, I want them to start dropping the hard C.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Move to the C word. Spice it up.
I mean, there was a couple. Brian Danielson and Hangman Page definitely audibly screamed, "I'm going to kick his fucking head in." So yes. We're not far away from Tay Conti calling Penelope Ford a cunt.
She should just curse a bunch in Spanish. Thunder Rosa does that, and it's awesome.
Ah, yes. Puta madre. Mama verga.
Hey, guys. Breaking news. Urban Meyer's out as the Jaguars head coach.
I mean, that's not a surprise.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's breaking right now. He's out.
And he's got ties to AEW.
Maybe he'll show up. He actually was on AEW television.
He's going to Impact.
Dan Lambert's back next week. You're fucking excited for that.
Well, if I could have gotten to my last point in the card, yes, Dan Lambert is coming back.
I was trying to bring it all back together, brother.
Thank you. And they did announce for the Dynamite episode next week, the Holiday Bash, we're going to get Malakai Black versus Griff Garrison and CM Punk, Sting, and Darby Allin versus MJF and FTR.
Let's stay.
And Darby and CM Punk.
Yeah. It'll be Sting, Little Sting, and CM Punk.
Little Sting. I think Little Sting's his stick.
It's Skateboard Sting.
Oh, no, that's his bat.
Somebody mentioned it before about TK and all this stuff, his promises. He actually was on. He did an interview with DAZN or DAZN. That's DAZN, I think. I can't keep him fucking track anymore. And he was asked on the 14th a couple days ago if any fresh faces will debut at Winter is Coming. And he said, "I'm more than aware there's a number of free agents out there, wrestlers I admire too, but I've got to say that you just have to keep watching over these next few weeks, and not just Winter is Coming. There's the Holiday Bash special from Greensboro, North Carolina. That includes the Christmas Day Rampage. We have the last ever episode of TNT, of Dynamite on TNT, followed by the debut episode on TBS. There's Battle of the Belts coming in January. I want AEW to run shows that you just can't miss. And I think these next few weeks are going to be really exciting for wrestling fans." So while we didn't get anything today, there are a lot of shows coming up that have some special themes. Maybe we'll see something happen. So obviously we know who some of the free agents are, but guys, we know one who will not be included on that list, and that is Kevin Owens. The bummer here is that he's re-signed with the WWE, not because he's re-signed and he's making money and all that kind of stuff. That's all good. The bummer is that we won't get to see him in AEW kind of reform the Mount Rushmore or have any of the matches, the dream matches that we felt he probably could have had at a really high quality. Good for Kevin Owens, but all the fantasy booking can end now. He's going to be with the WWE, multi-year contract, likely large money. So good for him, but he is not going to show up in AEW. That's for sure.
For now.
For now. But
I keep forgetting that he's only 37 because he's been around for so long. But I was like, yeah, if he has, I'm assuming it's a 3-year deal because that's the way most of these go. That, like, if he's 40 and some guys in AEW are retiring and he comes over, like, that's a great situation for him too. I'm bummed selfishly. Like, I fucking love that dude. He's like the one guy there that's left that I really wanted. But good for him. He definitely got fucking paid. There's no way.
Yeah.
Also, their track record is, you know, if they're trying to trim the fat in a year, it's not impossible to think that they would just release him. So,
oh yeah, and you think in that contract he either negotiated a no cut clause or if I get cut, you fucking pay me hard on the way out. Oh yeah, that guy's smart.
It's not his first rodeo. I mean, you know, people. I got into it with someone on Twitter today because they were like, "Oh, his career is ruined," and And he's just like, stop. Like, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it blows my mind how many people know what's best for him and his family in a contract that they haven't seen. Like, I think people don't realize that you're also able to negotiate your own creative input a lot of times with contracts, too.
Right. So, like, they went to Adam Cole and said, we want to shave your head and have you manage Keith Lee. And he was like, hard pass.
Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Kevin Owens was probably like, this is what I want. I will not do this. He's not, it's, I don't know. Some people just annoy the shit out of me.
Listen, the ultimate fear for me is that they do something like we've seen them do before. And most of the time they've done it like in the tag division, right? It's like we hear that these guys are going to go and then they don't go and they get the belt strapped to them. So they're in this position where they're sort of important, but they have a couple meaningless defenses. They then drop the belts and then they're off doing comedy, having, you know, itching powder put into their ass when they think it's baby powder or some other bullshit. I mean, that's the only fear. In my mind, Kevin Owens deserves way better. And, you know, I don't know what match he's got booked for this day one show that they're going to run. Apparently, people are really excited about it. But, you know, it's just the quality and the level of matches that we've been getting out of Bryan Danielson. The thought about the prospect that we could have gotten that same thing out of, you know, Steen here was awesome. So that's the part for me that sucks, is the what could have. I'm glad he's getting paid and his family's taken care of. Like, that's great. The bummer is that we could have gotten some, hypothetically, could have gotten some really good shit in AEW. So I guess it's their loss. You know, AEW's lost. They miss out on him, but there's other guys out there.
And they don't need that many more guys. Like, it's a crowded roster. So
it is, but I think we mentioned it last week. You know, there are contracts that are coming up in AEW, so they're going to have to make decisions. So you figure if an Owens is out there and you can clear a bunch of contracts on your roster to make room for that, you certainly would do that. But now you have to make other decisions. So, it is what it is. It's a business, man.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens with, like, Kip Sabian's walking around with a box on his head. Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing with some of these guys coming up? But to be determined, I suppose.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there for sure. Speaking of guys who are probably hanging out for a while, Matt Hardy has been teasing a reunion with Jeff Hardy. Now, Jeff Hardy, everybody knows, has been let out of his contract by the WWE, or not let out, I'm sorry, released. It's assumed he's gone on that 90-day no compete. Apparently, he is out of, he is going to be out on the road with his band, I guess. I have no fucking clue, but clearly, if they wanted him to go to rehab and he's got stuff going on, doesn't seem like that's a priority right now. So I don't know. Personally, guys, I don't need to see a Hardy Boys reunion in 2022, but maybe I'm wrong. Would that be something you guys want to see?
Yeah, I would. I don't think anything long term, but I think, I don't know. I think it's cool that there's probably some tag teams there that grew up Hardy Boys fucking nerds, and if they're smart about the way they book it, I think it could be really, 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 really fun. Especially Christian's there. Like, there's so many fun things you could do. I don't need them, like, at a Punk or Danielson schedule, but, like, reunited. And also, just, like, Jeff Hardy is so brilliant, like, in a creative standpoint, too. I think as a in a similar role as Matt, like, backstage and stuff, I think could be super just value add to the company. So if that's what gets him there, that's cool. And it's been hard to suss out, like, what has happened. It seems like WWE offered Jeff Hardy a rehab stint, which he declined, like, to pay for his rehab, which he declined. I don't know if it's because he didn't relapse. I don't know if it's because sometimes when you relapse, you just need to go back to meetings and you don't need a full run through rehab. But it seemed like everybody was trying to do best by each other on his way out of there. So, like, well before you get to is Jeff Hardy showing up at AEW? Some people thought Moxley was coming back tonight and stuff. It's like, I think we have to give more credit to how long the road of addiction is and how quickly you re-enter your life when things like this happen. But long term, I think it would be fun, but I don't need them on like a full-time schedule or anything.
I just don't want to see either of these guys at their age reliving the Hardy Boys. That's basically my thing. I'm like, we're not young guys anymore. I don't know if I need to see it.
I did not want to see Sting in the ring. And the way that they've done this has been pretty decent most of the time.
I don't want to see it. But Jeff Hardy's over as fuck. He's been over as fuck for the last 20 years. Even pre-WWE release, when he came out, he got one of the largest pops on TV. I'm not interested in it, but I get it. That's just not, you know. I'll change the channel. I'll go watch something else.
Schlong, what do you think? Hardy Boys, yay, nay?
He's all about it.
I don't think they'd be the Hardy Boys. I think they would do something else.
The Hardly Boys?
Yeah, they'd be the Hardly Boys.
Please, if they bring back Willow, I'm all in.
Well, there we go.
What do you know about Willow?
It's his alter ego that he had Impact, and it was weird.
It was awesome.
But
I also, just for Jeff Hardy versus Darby Allin, why not? Come on. Just bumps everywhere.
Oh, man. Well, it'll be interesting to see. There's definitely some time before we could see any possibility of that in AEW in any capacity. So stay tuned for that. There was also, I guess, at the C2E2 panel, Adam Cole was that. Thank you. Was asked about his thoughts of an Undisputed Era reunion being in the cards, and he said he's down for it. He said, "So this is the honest to God truth. I have no idea what Kyle's going to do. I really don't. I'm not even sure he knows exactly what he's going to do, but the idea of getting to reunite with Kyle as well as Bobby, hell yeah, I would love that. Hell yeah, I would, absolutely." And then at another point, a fan asked on the panel, who would be most interested in kicking Johnny Gargano's ass, and Adam Cole shot straight up. So those two things are out there. Cole is highly interested in O'Reilly coming in. I think we all think that that's a good possibility. And he'd also like to work Gargano. But I think I also saw somewhere on social that Gargano mentioned Lee Moriarty, and Lee also said, I would love to kick Johnny's ass. So who knows? Maybe we'll get to see Johnny Gargano in AEW.
Yeah, that also would have been a more effective, I don't know what Kyle's doing if CM Punk wasn't smirking like an idiot sitting next to him.
Right, right.
Punk was like, yeah, he's not coming.
So, Kate, question for you.
Sure.
Have you cried within the last, I don't know, week? Because I haven't read this, but this is out there. Amanda Huber wrote a Players Tribune post about John, Brody Lee. I haven't read it, not for any reason. I just haven't had the time to read it. But it's out there, and she talks about, you know, her relationship with Brody. It's a tribute to her husband. On what would have been their 10th wedding anniversary, contains some stories that we've heard since Brody died and others that maybe we haven't. Details about, you know, kind of the who, what, where, when, and how of the loss of Brody Lee. You know, and some stories about the son, their sons and the family and all that kind of stuff. So that is out there. Kate, have you read it?
I did, and it was beautifully written. I was glad I had heard, like, her on podcasts and stuff talk about it before, because I think it took a little bit of the sting of the pain away from it. But what I really liked was she just talked about their relationship from beginning to end, and it was not, like, a beautiful, super easy road, and she was incredibly honest about that. She talked about his high points and low points in all of wrestling, from indies to WWE to AEW. And how it affected their relationship, and how even when he was making progress, he kind of, you know, at points had negative views on it because there's always something more, right? Even when you're a champion, then you have to retain. Like, she was just very, very honest, as it seems like she's been this whole time. So it was a really nice read, and I appreciate when people are not sugarcoating in any way. And she went into the details about everything, you know, his whole journey in the hospital and Cody and Big E being in the room, and the strides that everybody made at AEW to make her feel comfortable. She mentioned Jericho charting the plane for Brody Jr. while she was like at the hospital and finding out he was dying and he was at AEW having the time of his life. Like, just a really beautiful piece. And those Players Tribune pieces, both in wrestling and in general, seem to just be extremely well done. Extremely well done.
Well, it's definitely out there, and it seems like a good read if you have the time to go read it or if you're interested. So that's it. That was just the last kind of note I had, unless anybody else has anything they want to discuss.
If you are out there listening, you are an AEW fan, you enjoy the AEW product, and you want to maybe interact with one of your favorite AEW superstars, be sure to tune to the Shining Wizards podcast Monday night, 8 p.m. The wonderful, talented, beautiful Sunny Kiss will be joining us at 8 p.m. So if you watch on YouTube and Facebook, you can leave your comments, concerns, questions in the chat there, and we'll see them over here, and we'll ask Sunny your questions. So check that out. And also, Dante Smiley will also be on the show. And you know him from AEW Dark and Dark Elevation. So we got a jam-packed show, baby.
Best ass in the biz.
The Sunnies love you guys on the Wizards.
Yeah.
We love the Sunnies.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So we know what Matt's up to. Kate, what are you up to?
Well, I got to see you guys in some way, shape, and form 3 times this week, which has been fun. But back to the regular schedule of Fridays on Fightful YouTube with Sean Rostap doing the AEW Rampage and SmackDown post show. Tomorrow, I'm doing a round table with WrestleZone, which was really fun. It's just a panel of 4 people. Tuesdays, I do Sour Graps with Alex Pulowski right after NXT, also on Fightful YouTube. And Wednesdays, I'm right back here with my favorite dudes talking AEW.
Does she call everybody else their favorite dudes when she's on their other shows?
No.
Okay, I don't know. I don't fucking listen.
Well, thanks.
Sorry. Please, find me time to listen.
I know. I listen like every Monday, but no, it's fine.
She doesn't, Matt, and the only reason I know that is because I've heard she does it when they go off the air. She's like, you're my favorite guys.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I go.
Shlong, what are you doing on Monday and Tuesdays? Got to turn your mic on, pal.
Well, I didn't want to keep coughing into it. I am live tweeting Dark and Elevation, where Sunny Kiss is in the middle of a feud with Janela. Won't be settled this week. It'll be settled the following in some kind of no-holds-barred match that Kate loves that name so much. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. So you can follow me at Mark Order Pod because that's where I do it from.
I like my holds barred, all right? Sometimes you just got to – I'm old-fashioned that way.
All
bar holds some holds.
But all holds should not be barred.
Not every single one.
Should be barred.
Are you going to be anywhere, big guy?
Fella? Just here, pal. Just here, sure. Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday night on the Mark Order Podcast. And you should follow us at Mark Order Pod on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube. And if you're listening in podcast form, thank you for doing that. If you're watching us live here on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, hello and thank you. We appreciate everybody listening to us. If you do listen in podcast form, make sure you're subscribing, you know, rating, reviewing, anything you can do to help us in the algorithms there. We do suggest you try to check out the video format of the show, because then you see us. You see Ryan Schlong with these buff dudes behind him.
The dicks, man. Those are the dicks.
No, Dick Bruiser.
It's not Dick Bruiser and Ball Crusher.
No, how dare you? You know what? So much disrespect. Where is Milwaukee Tom when you need him?
He would agree with us.
No, he would not. He is from the area. He probably goes to the Dick the Bruiser statue.
Yeah, Dick Bruiser.
No, not
Dick Crusher.
I'm going to fucking Dick Bruise both of you. I like them apples.
But we definitely suggest you watch. You try to give the show a watch if you can in a video format. It's a lot of fun. You know, we're sometimes we have characters on, Rate the Great. Sometimes, you know, other people might show up. But
sometimes I don't show up.
That's true. Most of the time, Matt doesn't show up. So it's a lot of fun. But the other thing, too, is if you're following us on social, shoot us a DM and let us know your name and address. We'll send you out some free stickers anywhere in the world. Other than that, the Mark Order Podcast will be going to the January 5th. Jamaica. What?
Sandals, Jamaica.
I wish. Jamaica's largest freshwater pool.
Paradise.
This is why I say you're my favorite guys. Yeah. All right.
So the Mark Order Podcast will be going to the first TBS Dynamite in Newark, New Jersey on January 5th. We're also working towards the February Atlantic City Dynamite. And we're gonna make a trip out of that one. All of us will be there, so that will be fun. Other than that, we'll catch you guys next week. Check out the Shining Wizards on Monday nights. And
the schlong and good night.
Catch you on the slippity flop.
Yeah. did it go in? Good night.
Goodbye and good night.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.